Take the phone off the hook, close the blinds, and turn up the sound. This is episode 200 of Major Nelson Radio. Hey there, friends. This is Larry Herbeck's Fox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 200, as you just heard me say. I'm recording this late Sunday, November 4th, 2006, from my home up here in the Seattle, Washington area. Thanks so much. This is the only blogcast or podcast, whatever you'd like to call it, available in high definition. Don't know what that means, but it just certainly sounded good, didn't it? Anyway, this is the 200th episode, 2 hour spectacular, and I'm recording this hoping that I will hit 2 hours. I honestly don't know if I will. I've got a ton of stuff, and I think I'm going to do it, but let's jump in and let's rock and roll right at it. So let me run down what I have for the show today. In addition to the normal ramblings that you hear from me each week, or actually it's been 2 weeks now since the last show that I put up because I was away, I've got some great interviews lined up. So I've got Jeremy Ludes, who is the lead designer for COD3, which releases this week. We'll have him on the line. I have Ken Levine, who is the man behind BioShock, which is a game that was really blowing everyone away at E3 this year, as well as at our XO6 event over in Barcelona. So I'll have Ken on the line as well. I also spent some time with Dave Mustaine, who is the lead singer of Megadeth. So he wanted to join me for my 200th episode. Or did I want to wait and hold my episode for him? You'll hear that interview, and that was certainly fun. Because, you know, when you think of Major Nelson, you think Megadeth, don't you? I know you do. And then finally, I have our good old friend Greg Canessa stops by. He's got some great news that he's going to share with us, as well as I corner him on the Luminous issue. So there you go. So that's what's going on. So where have I been for the past couple weeks? Well, I took the opportunity, as you guys know, to head back east, which is where I'm from, back east, meaning the east coast of the United States, specifically New England, the Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island area. And we held an event at Six Flags New England, which let me tell you how this went down. This is actually a pretty funny story. I was about 3 weeks ago, maybe it was 4 weeks ago, I was in a meeting where they were telling me about some of the Gears of War events coming up. And they said, well, we got this great one in L.A. where we're going to have a cemetery and blah, 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 this other stuff. And then we're also going to be doing this thing down in at Epic Studios in North Carolina. And then we're going to be doing this thing at Six Flags in Boston. I said, wait a minute. I said, there's no Six Flags in Boston. They said, oh, yeah, Six Flags, New England. It's in Boston. I said, no, it's not. I said, I grew up in that area. It's like 90 minutes west in Springfield. So, you know, whoever was running the meeting kind of shuffles some papers around and does one of these things. And all of a sudden they said, oh, yeah, you're right. It's in Agawam. I said, yeah, I know. So I said, I'll do that one. The reason I went to do that one is, A, we never really get to do a lot of things in New England for our New England friends. And, you know, I know that the chorus of people from around the world are going to start talking about, oh, well, you never come to... insert my town here, you know, Wyoming, you never come to South Dakota, or you never come to Wisconsin. But you know, this happened to be an opportunity. What happened was is Megadeth, Dave Mustaine apparently had played some Gears of War a while ago. I guess maybe he's friends with Cliff Eubie. I don't know the actual backstory. And he had played some Megadeth with, or he played some Gears of War, and he really liked the game, and he was so inspired, he wrote a song. Well, it turns out they were on tour, their Gigantour, and this was one of the stops on the Gigantour, and so it just kind of everything lined up. It was a couple weeks before the game is released, which is releasing this week, as you know. Emergence Day is next Sunday, but obviously this, the game goes on sale in North America this Tuesday, or let me rephrase it. That's when it becomes available. You know, who knows when your local retailer is going to have it. And so anyway, getting back to the Gears of War event, or excuse me, the Megadeth thing. So they, you know, Dave Mustaine wrote this song. He decided to, and they were doing this event at Six Flags, and it just kind of everything lined up. So off we went to Six Flags. It was a great event. They gave me some tickets to give away on the blog, and I want to thank you all for coming out, those folks that won tickets. Great meeting you guys. There was actually some people that were walking by who weren't part of it. We had a separate area, and for those of you that were there and you saw the photos up there, and I even commented this on the blog, damn, it was hot in there. I don't know what was going on, but it was really hot in there. But we had a special room next to the Superman ride, attraction, I believe is what they call them, the Superman attraction. And we had a separate room there, and that we had all the Gears of War stations set up around. We had a couple dozen of them, I think. We had some multiplayer going on. We had single player. And there were people walking by. Now, you couldn't get in unless you had the right color wristband, which was a green wristband. And there were people walking by kind of poking in, what's going on here? And, you know, the security guys were telling them. And there was this one, I remember this one group of folks who came by, and they were so excited that Gears of War, and they kind of like were running in to play it. And the security guard stopped them and said, no, you can't because, you know, it's invite only. I said, oh, we've heard about this game. We really want to play it. So I went up to them and I grabbed them and I brought them in, and they were so excited to play the game. It was great. They were just so thrilled to play the game, and everybody had a great time. I've been getting emails from people who played the game at that event and at other events around the country that were just really looking forward to it. So Emergence Day is this Tuesday. After that, you'll be able to hopefully get your copy of Gears of War. So Emergence Day, woohoo! Exciting, isn't it? What else is coming out on Tuesday? We got COD3. COD3 is coming out, and I'll be talking to Jeremy Ludis, who's the lead designer on that, in a little bit. Actually, you know, I should probably roll that right now because he was great. So let me go ahead and do that. Anyway, let me wrap up my boy. I'm only rambling for the 200th show. I am just rambling. You think 200 shows, I'd have it together by now? Apparently not. So the event in New England was a smash hit. We did it Tuesday evening, which was Halloween, and the doors opened at 5. People came down. They played Gears of War with us. It was great hanging out with everybody. Megadeth performed on stage. They did like this little mini concert where they performed a few songs, and they were great. So that was a really great event. I really enjoyed going back home for the for the event, and I got to spend some time with my sisters. I won't bore you with those details. But it was really great to come back for that. So, all right, let's see what else we got going on here. I want to roll that COD3 interview, but before I do that, I want to talk about, the auto update that went out, while I was gone. It actually went out that Tuesday on Halloween. So the auto update went out, which is a free update for your Xbox 360 dashboard. If you're connected to Live, or you don't even need to have a Live membership, you can just, you plug it in and you're off to the races and it'll download. So we released that, I think it was 2:00 in the morning on Tuesday, and we had a couple of problems immediately that people found. One of them was we fixed literally within 24 hours, where there were certain cases, and very few folks were affected by this, where it would do some bad things to their box. And the other one was where people were getting caught in this loop of getting the update, can't apply the update, getting the update, can't apply the update. So we have fixed most of those. I'm sure there's one or two people listening right now who are going to say, well, no, you didn't fix mine. And so if you are having a problem, please call your local support number, and they'll get you straightened out. And if you have any problems there, just let me know, and I will escalate through my ways. But you should be able to get all straightened out there. So the one thing that wasn't fixed, or that is kind of this bug that the guys are working on and they are aware of, is the fact that there are certain television displays out there that are not accepting or not displaying the 1080p signal. For those of you that don't know, in this dashboard update, we enable the ability to render content in 1080p. Now, I must say that the baseline of our content will always be 720p, and then developers can have the option of doing content in, or producing content in 1080p, and we've got that opportunity there. So that's kind of what that's all about. And so we are aware of that issue. In fact, first day in the office was on Friday. I went down right into the office to the guys who are working on it. I said, you guys are aware of this? And like, yeah, we're aware of it. We're working on it. We're going to get that taken care of. So they haven't given me a fix, but we are aware of it, and they'll take care of it. So until then, just drop back to 720p, and right now you're not really missing anything. So you can drop your console back to 720p, and you should be good to go. There was also, I got a couple of emails from people who were panicked because they set it to 1080p, and then their Xbox 360 console, or excuse me, their display wasn't, you know, they had one of those displays where it wasn't working, and they panicked because they couldn't figure out how to switch back. And well, that's pretty easy. All you got to do is reach around and flip the switch on your controller, on your device, your component cable in the back, set it to TV, and it'll go back to, I believe it's 480p. So anyway, dashboard update. There weren't as many user facing features that a lot of people liked. I mean, with the spring update, which we did last year. And I'm trying to get them away from calling them the spring and the fall update, because I know there's half the planet under the equator that thinks exactly opposite. So we've got a couple of cool features in there that, for instance, we redesigned the marketplace, but we still have much work to do. We know that. And we also enabled the auto download of arcade titles. So let me talk about that for a second. So the team did some investigation and some research, and they realized that 90% of the trials to full game conversion, that means when you download a game and then you decide you want to purchase it, 90% of that happens within 2 hours of the initial gameplay. So what the arcade team wanted to do, and you'll hear Greg Canessa talk about this later on in the show, is they wanted to provide a quick way for people to get that content without having to either check my blog or do something else. So what they did was, and you're actually going to hear me switch over to my, I have my Xbox 360 in my office here in my studio. So, I'm just switching over to it on my KVM. So, if you go into the, let me go over to the arcade. So when you go into the Xbox Live Arcade, they kind of, we have a new layout. There's the My Arcade titles at the top. You'll see a banner. There's My Arcade games, which are obviously the ones you've downloaded. There's the place where you can go download games. There's, tells you what your last game is. And then there's auto download. So when you click in on that, you turn that on, and that basically starts a little bit of a process on our on the back end on the servers, and it looks at what you've downloaded and what you haven't downloaded. So from moving forward, the way I understand it, the moment you log in, it will, the next time an update or, excuse me, a new title is available, it will download the trial for you. Now, let's be clear, it's going to download the trial. It's not automatically purchasing the games, as some people think it is. All we are is giving you the trial, because as you know, with the Xbox Live Arcade titles, every single title has a trial. That's the way that works. So kind of a cool feature. You just flip that on. You know, people are, what we're noticing is people are emailing me asking, hey, that's a great feature. Can I have that for the marketplace? So it downloads everything in the marketplace every single, yeah, I not yet. I don't think so. So that's the story behind that feature. Boy, I'm way off the rails on this, aren't I? Yeah, well, I guess I am, because I'm just kind of leading here. So I want to get kicking into my interviews here. We're already 10 minutes into the show, 11 minutes into the show, and I want to get bring in the Call of Duty 3 interview. So let me go ahead and roll that right now. We have Jeremy Ludes, who's the lead designer for COD 3. Here's the interview. All right, on the line for me is Ken Levine, creative director for BioShock. Ken, thanks for joining me tonight.
Happy to be here, Larry.
So you made some pretty big announcements at XO6 last month in Barcelona and with BioShock. Tell us about that game, because that game is just jaw-droppingly beautiful.
Well, thanks for saying it. We feel the same way. It is, you know, BioShock is a game that we hope, and this is, you know, an ambitious goal, to really redefine what gamers expect when they play a first-person shooter, to really set the bar. Not just on, as you said, you know, on the visual quality, and it's nice to have a game that looks as good as it does and has such a great art team, but just in terms of what a gamer expects to be able to do in the world of a 3D shooter, to a first-person shooter, and that's our big goal, and what we showed at XO6, I think, really helped establish that and demonstrate that point to people.
So I'm sure people are listening right now going, BioShock now, which was, because there was a flurry of information coming out at XO6. For those of you that were wondering about it, this is the title that took place. It's kind of in the underwater city. Is that the way I should describe it?
That's correct. It's an underwater city named Rapture.
Rapture. And then this is the one where this little girl came out. It looked like a duct or something, and then you grabbed it, and then this what was the thing that kind of you were tangling with?
Yeah, well, the XO6 demo was a little different than the E3 demo. The E3 demo is where we introduced everybody to BioShock, and you can download that video online and, you know, on many places online, the XO6 BioShock demo. And we really just introduced people to the world of BioShock in that. In the XO6 demo, as compared to the E3 demo, it was about combat, and we actually had a name for the demo. We titled the demo Hunting the Big Daddy. Mm-hmm. The Big Daddy's those big guys you've seen in the diving suits, if you haven't seen the game in motion, but in the pictures. And they protect those little girls, the little sisters. And your goal in the demo at XO6 was to take down one of these Big Daddies. Now, Big Daddies are sort of like, they're very powerful. They're very, because they protect the characters who carry the primary resource of our game world, which we call Adam. It's sort of a genetic material that everybody uses to power their genetic superpowers. But to take down one of these guys is really, really tough. And we had to, when we demoed it, show everybody how we pulled out all the stops and utilized every tool we had in our toolbox, which was a pretty limited toolbox compared to what it had actually given me in the real game, mm-hmm. to take this guy down. It took the whole 10-minute demo just to bring this guy down across multiple rooms and multiple strategies and multiple approaches is really different than people have seen. A different thing that people have seen in an FPS.
Yeah, I'll never forget the first time I saw this. I was backstage at XO6, and I was behind the screen, and you remember how it was set up, and I was backstage, and it started rolling, and I just was watching it because I'm a diver, so I love underwater stuff, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, this is really cool, and then it kind of goes down and goes through a couple of the caverns and goes inside one of the buildings, and you see this fantastic world that you've created there that your designers have come up with. And then obviously it's first person view, and you see the Big Daddy that now I know his name, Big Daddy, and he comes after you, and it was just phenomenal. Especially when he kind of corkscrews you, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, we wanted to show in the trailer, which is on live right now, sort of what an experience might be for a player in the world, or to be in the world of Rapture. And you know, we work with a great company called Blur, who's done a ton of other of these trailers. And they originally, I had written the trailer to be in a third-person action sequence, like most of their trailers. And I said, if we're making a first-person game here, let's really put you in the shoes of somebody who'd be playing Bioshock, even though it's a pre-rendered trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing you can say about the world of Rapture, it's a brutal, brutal world. And the trailer shows that really well. When you fight these big daddies, these are not like you stand at the distance and pop caps into each other. They come at you with these horrible drills that can, you know, drill a hole in you, as he actually does in the
as we saw.
And it's really a struggle to the death, and that's, you know, fighting these guys is going to be a key feature of Bioshock. And I thought it was a really, you know, we were able to pull a pretty unique trailer out of it, primarily just by saying, let's show it from the player's perspective.
Now, one of the parts of that was really wild when your hand gets drilled, or when it goes through your first person body. What was going on with the needle? What was that, and how your skin turned black? Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, the game, Bioshock is all about player choice. It's about giving the players a ton of stuff they can do, a ton of different ways they can solve every problem they have in the game. And some of those ways are weapons, you know, where we have 8 weapons which are modifiable, and you can change them and mod them to make them better. The player has 50-plus of these, what we call genetic modifications. And the world of Rapture, this underwater city, that's the kind of science that went out of control, is the ability to modify yourself genetically. And what you saw in that trailer is one of those genetic modifications, which is actually in the game, which you put a needle in yourself and give yourself this genetic modification, and you can launch swarms of insects out of your arm. But unlike, you know, a game like D&D, where it's like a little cloud appears in front of you, these guys are hatching inside of your body and tearing their way out.
Right.
And you actually see that happen. This is not, there's no free lunch in the world of Bioshock.
Right.
This is painful, amazingly cool, dark stuff that we want people to go, like, look, when you're modifying your body, you feel it. And you hear the character when he does it. It's not pleasant for him. But it's the only way you can get that huge big daddy off his back. It's the lesser of two evils.
So you you talked about the fact that this is going to be a first-person shooter. I think you called it, it's like Shooter 2.0 is what I've heard it being called.
Yeah, that's the marketing version of what I think it is. You know, the next step in shooters, and we can go on with the design. But the marketing guys want to sum it up, so they said Shooter 2.0, which is good a marketing term as any.
So it's in addition to, you know, having this, these, you know, the fact that you're going to be able to enhance yourself biologically, what are some of the other things? You talked about the weapons. Tell me about the environment.
Well, there's a lot of things you do in the environment. We showed in the demos, for instance, there's a whole security system in place that you can actually take control of, and we actually showed in the XO6 demo, you can hack into these security bots, these flying bots, and they'll fight and defend you and protect you, take control of security turrets. We have a whole range of genetic powers. Bioshock has something we call AI ecology, a monster ecology. There's not a single AI in the game that you can't interact with in interesting ways besides the typical FPS way, which is shooting them.
Right.
You can make them friend you. You can make them hate each other. You can make them, even with the little sister, look to you for protection and reward you for protecting them.
Interesting.
And this is all dynamic. This isn't scripted stuff. And so the game allows you to invent objects in the world to, you know, find new inventions to make, like, new, for instance, new types of ammo for your weapons that didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
Invent new genetic powers. There's a hacking system that you can hack into machines, like to find a vending machine. And it's the world, the world of Rapture. Vending machines have lots of useful things besides candy bars, like ammo and weapons.
Because so it's kind of like in Japan, where the machines have all this crazy stuff in it.
Yes, yes. With those who know all the details about Japan, some notable exceptions.
Right.
But there's some pretty powerful things. But there are some machines that you can even hack. So you see a vending machine, because you're a smart hacker, you can see that some things are sort of hidden away. But if you hack the machine, you can get access to those things.
So one of the things that, you know,
a whole amount of things you can do. The weapons are extremely, and the genetic powers are extremely flexible. I think you saw in the Exo-6 demo, we have a telekinesis power.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can use, like you see in other games, to pick up things and toss them, to use them to knock enemies back. But you saw in the demo, we were attacked by a grenade-throwing splicer. And we actually used those grenades. We caught them in the air as they were being thrown at us, their telekinesis, and tossed them back at one of our other opponents.
That's pretty outrageous.
We picked up a teddy bear, lit it on fire, held it over a burning fire. The teddy bear lit on fire. We tossed it at another AI, and he lit on fire. It's really about building as a flexible and immersive environment that where if you want to do something, and that's a big sort of guiding principle for us. And the player expects to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to provide him the ability to do that.
You know, one thing as a gamer, as you are, and I, and everyone listening, you know, one of the things you do when you pick up a game that's like an outdoor game, you're like, the first thing you notice when you go outside is, oh, look at the beautiful water. This game has the best water ever. Let's talk about the water, because your entire environment is underwater.
Yep.
So how did you approach that, and how's the water looking?
Well, the water, for those who've seen, we really focused on water at the E3 demo, and for those who saw the E3 demo, as you see it, the water is really amazing, and I'm not even seeing it on video, I think, does it justice. The people who saw it in person, people have written about it. We have a full-time team, a two-person team, just on water effects and art. And so, because we really wanted a sense in the game from a narrative standpoint that the ocean was coming back to claim this city, because mm-hmm. It is. It's falling apart. And the war has torn it apart, neglect has torn it apart, you know, the war inside of Rapture. And so we really wanted to make that a key visual signature of the game, as well as in the Exo-6 demo, people got a first look of what it looks like to look out the window at Rapture and to see the other buildings in the other parts of the city. There's a whole metropolis built at the bottom of the ocean.
And not only that, but you're not just looking out, you're seeing fish swim by.
Yeah, little fish and plant life. And then, of course, because it's a city, there's advertising out, you know, on the ocean floor, you know, billboards and other buildings that you can actually go into. So we really spent a lot of time getting this right.
Yeah, this has been called, like, the most anticipated game of next year. You know, there's another game that may come out next year that people are talking about. But this one here is really got people looking at it. And have you been surprised at kind of the reception by it? I mean, it's got to be really gratifying for you. You've been working on this for quite some time.
Well, you know, we've worked on a lot of games, Rational Ship, a bunch of titles, and we generally have been known as the guys who, who get great reviews and don't sell a lot of copies of games. And I think this is our first game where we actually, you know, we got acquired last year by Take-Two.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing they did is they said, you know, we believe in this game. You know, this game that has budget of X? Well, now it's budget 3x X.
Wow.
And we want you to go to town and make this the game that you really want to make instead of cutting any corners. And so much so that, you know, we built our first prototype, and we hated it. Take-Two hated it. And they said, well, start again. And we never, before we just would have had to ship that game.
Right.
And one day, you know, hopefully on the DVD, you know, maybe we'll have an opportunity to show people what that looked like. It'll give them an insight into the process of how much a game can change with time. And Irrational never had that ability before to really just get everything right. And that's what we have the time to do this time. And I think that's why we're getting the response. It's sort of, you know, a great company that's been held back by just very limited time before. And now I think now we have the time to get everything right. People are responding. I mean, you should see, there's so many things that if you look back at the earlier versions of, you see, like, wow, you'd be saying to yourself, I'm really glad these guys had more time to do this game.
Because it's progressing. Tell us, you know, for those people that may not be familiar with Irrational Games, give me some of the other titles that you've worked on.
Yep. Well, our first title was System Shock 2, and that was several years ago, back in 1999, and sort of got us our first large amount of attention. It was a very, you know, generally still on every magazine's top 100 list, quite often in the top 10 or 20 of all time. We followed up with another game that's generally on the top 100 list called Freedom Force.
Yep, well, of course.
For PCs and also PC prior to BioShock. We did a game following that called Tribes of Vengeance for the UG and then SWAT 4, which were very well received. I'd say probably Tribes of Vengeance is probably our least well received game. And, you know, in all honesty, I don't think it was probably our best title, but we learned a lot from it. Got our first taste of working with the Unreal Engine from it. So I think, you know, certainly people see net effects of where we started using that engine and where we ended up with BioShock. And then we released Freedom Force System Third Reich last year, and then a SWAT expansion pack, and here we are now working on BioShock.
So you guys, I mean, clearly have the pedigree. So I want to ask you this question. You know, there's been a lot of buzz lately about downloadable content, and, you know, it remains to be seen. I don't want to paint you in a corner and ask you about BioShock, about downloadable content. But just BioShock aside, you know, for somebody who has been in the gaming industry for a long time like yourself, tell me about your views on downloadable content, premium content, you know, kind of the marketplace discussion that everyone's always having.
Yep. Well, it's always... The danger of downloadable content, I think the reason some gamers feel nervous about it is there's certainly an opportunity for exploitation of, you know, really trying to gouge the users for it as compared to actually offering them something that adds value. And it's a fine line. As a hardcore gamer myself, there's so many games that I wish, I say I want more content for this, but because the traditional model of going to retailers, you know, going to GameStop or EB, there's no... And I don't want to get too business and boring because, you know, until I sold the company, I ran all the business stuff, so I'm pretty versed in this. Mm-hmm. There is no economic model that supports a $5 thing that you sell at EB, a piece of software.
Right.
That makes sense for anybody. But for a gamer to want, you know, like one of those Oblivion expansions, one of those mini expansions.
Like the horse armor?
Well, you know, I think that's when they fell on the wrong side of the value equation. The horse armor, but then they have those other things.
Mm-hmm.
The first, I think, gamers first of the horse armor, they said, this isn't good enough. But then, as soon as the other stuff started coming along, I think they said, okay, this is pretty cool. And there's no way on earth that stuff would ever, ever work at retail. That something for $5, you know, like 5 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours of gameplay or 2 hours of gameplay for $5 or something, this won't work.
Right.
But if you're a gamer who loves a certain game, You know, only really big games now will merit an expansion pack, or even quite often a sequel, a game you love. There's not enough interest, not enough large community to do a sequel, but maybe there's some room for additional, you know, $5, $10 downloadable content things. Now, I'm really happy about that as a gamer.
Now,
for a game I love, I don't want to wait 6 months or 8 months for an expansion pack. I want to get something now.
One of the things you brought up was, you know, how gamers are getting nervous. What do you, when people find out, you know, when you're going to your local GameStop or your EB Games and the guys find out who you are and what you do, you know, and they're talking to you about this, what do you say to somebody who says, oh, I'm worried that, you know, this piece of content X or Y, that should have been in the game? What's your approach as a developer?
Well, you know, it's funny, like a game like Oblivion. Now, although I love Oblivion, I know Todd and I like him a lot. So, you know, take anything I say here with knowing all those things ahead of time. But I think people complain that Oblivion was in any way short of content. as a game developer, really have to re-examine their understanding of how games are made.
Right.
That was a game that was so generous in content. You could probably go through and play that for hundreds and hundreds of hours. At least I could. I mean, not be as good as other people.
There's people still playing it now. I mean, I see the numbers on Xbox Live, and it's phenomenal.
It's insane how much content. So to make the suggestion that Bethesda held back on their content so they can screw the gamer later, this is a game with not only just like hundreds of hours of gameplay, but hundreds of hours of polished gameplay.
Right.
It's not just, you know, cookie cutter. I marvel. I just can't, you know, as a game developer, I'm in awe of what they achieved. And so I kind of have to wonder, you know, that people aren't just looking for something to complain about. Now, certainly there have been pieces of content where you have to go a little, you have to say a little like, is that really so? Especially stuff that people traditionally expect in a game up front, and that should be part of a game. But that, you know, at the end of the day, the gamer is going to make that decision. But I think my advice to gamers is, you know, of course, vote with your wallet. That's always the case. But I think that to automatically assume that every publisher who does, or developer who releases downloadable content, is keeping it out of the game, it does a disservice to guys like Todd Howard and to Bethesda, because clearly these are, no, these are people offering a lot of bang for the buck.
Sure, sure. Well, it's always good to talk to somebody on, you know, on your side of the business, a developer who is, who's made some fantastic games and has obviously, you know, an interesting interesting look at the way the industry works. Because I mean, that's at the end of the day, this is a business, and you know, you guys, you have a family to raise, and you guys, you have people to pay, and you know, so forth. But you, at the also, you want to ship a great game.
Yep.
And that's got
to
be.
And I can understand how gamers are sensitive to these things. That, you know, because they think that, you know, game developers have a ton of money and publishers have a lot of money. And quite a lot of game developers do have a lot of money, and quite a lot of publishers do have a lot of money. But for me, the exciting things about Live is revenue models it actually provides to smaller companies. Because if you look at the, you know, the Live content and the Marketplace content, the kind of games that just don't make sense at retail anymore, for better or for worse. And I, when I say don't make sense, I don't mean from a creative standpoint. I mean from a business standpoint.
So you're talking like the arcade titles?
Yeah. And, you know, smaller titles that can be done by smaller teams. And downloadable content is very similar, Larry, because you have sometimes, you have to go work on your next big project, but you have a few people on your team, a few key people who may have some cycles to do something small and exciting, you know, downloadable additional content. It just it allows those things to exist, which honestly, it can be very difficult for them to exist in any other way, and that's why I'm so excited about Marketplace.
Yeah, it's I always like to talk to people who work on different parts of the industry to see what they where they land on this. But let's get back to BioShock. So what when can we expect the game? That's what everybody's listening to this wants to know right now. When can they go diving? When can they go hang out with in Rapture?
Well, my corporate overlords have made it very clear what I can and can't say, because, you know, I tend to be, when I was an independent developer, I would just sort of go off of the mouth and say everything, but I have to respect their wishes, and they say you can say spring 07.
Okay, spring 07, so just to be clear, for people, that's north of the equator, spring 07.
Yeah. Not Australia spring, U.S.
Because I have a global listenership, and they often give me a hard time when I say seasons, because half the world has, you know, the opposite season. So spring 07 in North America, of course, that, you know, that doesn't say when and where it's going to ship. But Ken, I appreciate your time. I know you and I have been trying to connect, and I really look forward to seeing some more from you. Can I get you back on when we get closer to shipping?
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, take it easy.
Ken Levine, designer, BioShock from Irrational Games. I'll put some links to their website up on the blog and so forth. So thanks, Ken. He's just a great guy. I mean, he's got the pedigree. I mean, if you listen to where he's coming from and what he's done, he's really got the background. So I'm really excited to have his creative team and his brain behind BioShock. And if you haven't seen this trailer, I highly recommend it. It was just mind blowing, jaw dropping. It was that beautiful. So, all right. So there we go. Let's see, moving along here. You know, the show is a lot of the interviews that I've been working on for the past week and a half or so. And the next interview is, as I started talking about before we went into this interview, I got to kind of spend a few minutes with Dave Mustaine from Megadeth when he was at the Gears event in Six Flags New England, not located in Boston. And Dave was really nice, very, very smart individual. So I was able to snag him for a few minutes. So here's the few minutes I spent with Dave Mustaine. Larry Herb with Xbox.
Hi, Larry.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine. How are you?
So, thanks. I'm actually doing this for Xbox.com. I do a podcast, you know, those crazy audio files.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to thanks.
What kind of file?
Audio, you know, just...
I'm just kidding.
So, tell me, what games are you playing now? I want to talk Gears of War.
I don't play any games at all, period. I don't like video games. I played this game and I fell in love with it, and this... You know, for me, I just never was a game person, but as soon as I saw this game and started playing with it, I thought, you know what, I got to learn how to play.
So tell us about the song you wrote.
The song, actually, Gears of War, was being written when we first heard about Gears of War and Xbox partnering with us on Gigantor last year.
Right.
And I was so flattered and impressed that I had gone over and taken the title off of the song and changed the title of the song to Gears of War.
Right.
And said, you know what, give them the song. And they said, well, it's too late. The music's already done for the video game. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. Just tell them that I dedicate the song to them, and I'm going to name it Gears of War. And Jennifer heard it and flipped out over it, and the rest is just a match made in heaven. I think this is brilliant.
Or a match made in hell.
No, I don't believe that. And the thing about me not playing games,
yeah,
it's because being a guitar player, I've got arthritis in my hands,
right.
So it's hard for me to. Since I don't know how
right.
to play very well, I squeeze the hell out of that thing. I don't realize that you don't have to squeeze that hard.
Yeah.
Now, my son is going to just be absolutely over the moon
right.
when I bring this game home, especially if I can practice a little bit and beat him.
Right.
But I think that's only going to last like about 10 minutes.
And then you're done.
And then I'm toast.
Then he's going to wipe the floor with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, then the chainsaw's coming out.
Yeah, so what do you think of that chainsaw?
I love the game. I think, like I said, bro, I don't know anything about games. All I know is that it's one of the most intense graphics, one of the neatest stories behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just the way that everything's lined up with all the barricades and stuff in the street where you can hide behind. And
yeah, the duck and cover. Because people think it's just a run around and shoot game, but it's all about hiding, too.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of like future tech, like a crime movie where it's interactive where you can change your ending.
Right.
And a little bit of paintball, you know,
right.
going on. And the fact that you can do this and do it online with anybody across the world.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
With Xbox Live.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I work on that product.
Right. So. Well, I mean, they're Xbox patrons.
Sure.
I know that it wouldn't interface with other stuff, and besides,
right.
you know, I've never seen another video game by anybody that even comes close to this in coolness.
So if you're on Xbox Live, do you want to tell me what gamer tag is? You know what your online name
what
is?
What my gamer tag is?
Yeah.
I don't have one yet, but it would probably be I suck, so get it over with already.
Just cut to the chase.
Yeah, just...
It's really an amazing. It's a beautiful evening, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
It's great here. Great game. Tell me a little bit about the tour. You know, you guys have had a wild tour.
Gigantor was really successful in the States. This is the second year that we were here in the United States. We took Gigantor down to Australia. Just returned here to do this, and the tour was successful in a lot of different ways. One of the most important ones is obviously helping bring the metal community together. And you'd be surprised how many gamers love metal. They listen to it in the background while they're playing.
Exactly.
And the thing that we were able to be chosen as one of the spokesperson for Xbox for the game, I'm so honored. I can't wait to see where this relationship goes and how I can contribute more musically or what happens in the future.
Yeah, I mean, gaming is almost like the new Hollywood. Because it's not, but you're not just sitting there watching a game or
you're
watching
part of it.
You're in it.
Yeah.
And you're controlling how it ends and how, you know, all the different things inside. That's got to be wild because it's come a long way since you've been, you know, not playing games.
Yeah. Well, I'm involved in the whole gaming community to a degree because I obviously have to check on when they put songs on different games and stuff like that. It's just, you know, with some of the games that had come out that just was such mindless, gratuitous violence, there's no plot to it, you know. And if I want to sit there and just push a button and splatter stuff.
Yeah, we call it button mashing.
Yeah. Okay, see, I mean, it's even got a tag. It's so lame.
Yeah.
But for me, this thing immediately sucked me in. I'm like, okay, what's he saying? Who the hell's Dom? Okay,
right.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's figure this out. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, and so I found myself getting mad because I didn't know how to use the controllers and wanting to learn more about the game right away. Which
right away.
I guess, obviously, is one of the keys to success in something, how you set the hook.
Right.
It didn't take long for me.
You got hooked.
The worm was in the water and I was in the boat.
And you were going.
Yeah.
So, have you played Guitar Hero, right?
I've heard of the game.
Yeah,
I haven't played it yet myself.
Yeah, because that's coming out in the Xbox 360, too, where you're actually a guitar... But you're already a Guitar Hero, you know. You're already a hero in many ways.
Thanks.
So this is actually what I want... I'm going to wrap it up now, but... So I do a podcast for gamers, you know, which is a weekly show. And this is... This is my 200th episode. And you're my special guest for my 200th episode.
Oh, really?
I've been doing it for 2.5 years.
Wow, thank you.
So I want to thank you for giving me a little bit of time. And if you have any... What do you have for suggestions for anybody who's getting into the music business?
Don't. I don't need the competition.
That's kind of what I don't know what to add to that.
Nah, you know, just read everything. Don't sign anything until you have an attorney look at it. And it's a lot easier to change a no to a yes than a yes to a no.
That's a good point. So I'm going to let you ready. You're going to let you go get ready. You're going to be going on stage for a little bit for Gears of War. I'm really excited to hear the song. And I appreciate the time tonight, man.
Yeah,
do you
you're
have any final words?
Bye.
Dave, thanks, man.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
Maybe I'll see you online sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thanks, dude.
There you go. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. Dave was a great guy there. I was a little surprised by the response in the Guitar Hero question as well. So anyway, Dave, thanks for spending a few minutes with me, and I think Dave will be online, or at least he'll be online with his son playing a little Gears of War after on Emergence Day. Whew. All right, cooking along here with the big show. Let me pull up my notes here, as I always like to do, just so I'm not flying in the dark. The next interview, I'm kind of getting, kind of stacking up all the interviews one after the other, because I know you guys have gotten a lot of email from people who really like really like the interviews. So the next interview, I was talking to the guys regarding COD3, and I realized that, you know, COD3 is coming out on Tuesday, which is the same day of Gears of War, and I wanted to talk a little bit about COD3, because it's a... you know, it is one of the, COD2 was one of the huge titles for Xbox 360 when we launched. It's still, one of the top titles, if not the top title. It was the number one title for the most weeks since, let me rephrase that. It was the top Xbox 360 title for the most weeks so far since we've launched. It's since been, replaced by Splinter Cell Double Agent. But, you know, it's a huge title for us, and COD3 is fantastic. I actually have my copy here, and I'm going to try to play it, in just a little bit after I finish recording the show. And, I'm really, really excited about it. So I was thrilled when I was able to get, the designer on. So here he is. This is a guy who's got probably one of the coolest jobs. Jeremy Ludes, who's the lead designer for COD3. All right, on the line with me is Jeremy Ludes. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's going on?
Just kind of hanging out here, man. I appreciate you taking the time now. Why don't you tell some people what you do, because you got a pretty cool gig.
Yeah, I do. I probably have one of the coolest gigs out there. I'm very fortunate to be a part of an amazing team over here at Treyarch, and specifically the lead game designer for Call of Duty 3, which should be coming out very soon.
Yeah, it's coming out this week on the Xbox 360. Now, that just sounds like a cool gig, because you get to kind of define the look and, I guess, the look and the feel of what the game is like. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's about right. I basically, you know, work with all the different design teams and stuff and interface with the art guys and the programmicons, as we call them. And, help coach the game to reach new and better high levels.
So tell me what Xbox 360 owners can expect. So you know, the COD 2 was one of the fantastic titles that was there at launch when the Xbox 360 launched last year. So here we are, you know, fast forward almost a year, and you guys are coming out with COD 3. What can we expect? What's a little bit different?
Well, we've got big shoes to fill, right? COD 2 did extraordinarily well, and really set a standard and a bar with the fans. So right from the get-go, we knew we had to really attack it very aggressively. And some of those techniques, some of those tactics, which we chose upon was, one, next-genifying the game to a point of where it's never been seen before. Everything from, you know, grass that you can walk over to volumetric effects that are affected by wind to the point of where there's no loading bar anymore in the game, you know. Now, when you go between different missions, a in-game cinematic storytelling experience happens, and it just flows right into the next mission. So those are a little bit of a couple of examples of how aggressive we were to trying to maintain the integrity and the authenticity with the franchise.
I've seen a little bit of it. I haven't had the chance to really take a look at everything, but I was pretty impressed with what I saw. Can you tell us about maybe, you know, obviously it looks better, and, you know, you've worked on all the things that you talked about. Tell us some of maybe the new features in the game that we could look for on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, sure. Specifically, just mentioned that we completely got rid of the loading screen.
Right? Okay.
The fans are going to be able to now play through a particular feature we're calling battle actions. And battle actions are simply elements that people are familiar with doing within the franchise already, but interjecting gameplay into them. So, for instance, in the Call of Duty franchise, I'm sure many people have ran around, you know, hitting the melee button and bringing a rifle butt to an enemy's head.
Yep.
Well, now when you come around the corner, boom, a Nazi might jump on top of you, throw you to the ground, and now you got to fight for your life. You got to go through button combinations and push him off of you. So that's
you're fighting for your life.
That's right. You're fighting for your life. He's breathing down your face. He's looking right into your eyes, and he's trying to take you down. Now, when you plan charges, you're not just simply hitting a button anymore. you get the charge in your hands, and you've got to go through a button combination on the controller to put the charge together, and then you plant it.
Wow.
We've even got instances of where you're going across a river and you're in a boat, right? Well, instead of just sitting in the boat and watching everything happen around you, you now have an oar in your hand, and you've got to help that boat get across the river before the motors blow you up.
So it sounds like a much more immersive gameplay experience.
That would be the point. I mean, we've got first person and third person drivable vehicles now. So into the third level of the game, which is Night Drop, you're going to be jumping into a SAS Vickers Jeep, right? So they have these really cool twin Vickers cannon on it, and now you've got to drive through what we're calling the Call of Duty driving experience, which is simply get from one location to the next without dying while everything in the world is blowing up around you. You'll be hitting jumps, you'll be driving over enemies, you'll be driving through walls, you'll be driving and avoiding trees. It's just a great time.
Is this the first time you can drive vehicles in this game?
Well, you were able to drive tanks before, but now you're able to drive Jeeps.
Got it.
Right? And you're able to drive them from first person or third person, depending on the player style. And that's something that we're particularly excited about.
So just the user can decide which mode they like.
Correct.
Wow. So hopefully it'll drive, I mean, I don't want to say this, but hopefully it'll drive kind of like what we're all used to, which is kind of like the Warthog.
Well, I don't want to make any direct references, but it is safe to say that we would want to create an experience that is familiar for the fans.
Understood.
And smooth and intuitive.
Understood. Now, part of designing the levels, I mean, or designing the game, you not only design the look and the feel, but do you also design some of the levels?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, our design process is very team-oriented, and what that means is that no one person is a dictator of the flow and feel of the game. And what that allows us to do is it allows us to include everybody who's working on the title to be a part of the game, right? So we have artists and animators and people who worked with other teams who never got a chance to be a part of design. But with our design team, everybody has input at some phase, so everybody is accountable, everybody has integrity, and everybody cares about the game and how it turns out.
One of the cool parts about it was, you know, last year at this time, or, you know, right around this time when the 360 launched, is people were just going through all the cool achievements. I assume you guys have some nice achievements up your sleeve as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, achievements are something that we take very seriously because we know how important they are for the fans, right? So, of course, we've got our classic, you know, get through the game in veteran mode, which is probably going to be your largest bulk of achievement points.
Sure.
But then what we've done is we've tried to be creative, whether it be with the terminology or with what you actually have to do with the particular achievements. For example, one of our new features, driving, you now have an achievement, find the big air jump, right? So when you play through the different levels that it's available to drive, you'll have to look for that jump and get that achievement. New to the franchise is throwing back grenades, right? How many times have you had grenades thrown at you and you want to pick them up and throw them back at the enemy just like they can do to you? Well, guess what? Now you can do that. If you're standing on top of a grenade, all you got to do is hit the grenade button, and then boom, you throw the grenade back. One of our achievements.
Yeah, they did that to me quite a bit in COD2. I would throw it, and all of a sudden it would come back. And there's nothing worse when you were playing COD2 than hearing that tick, tick, tick of their grenade bouncing around wherever you were.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to hear that tick, 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 because now you hear it and you get excited because you're like, oh, yeah, you want somebody, and you can pick it up and throw it right back at him.
Throw it right back at him. One of the other parts, I mean, the campaign mode was amazing. I mean, it looked beautiful. We all remember going through that last year. And it sounds like you got a lot of cool stuff planned for this year. But one of the key components is, I mean, COD2 is still one of the top Xbox 360 titles on Xbox Live. So tell me a little bit about what players can expect for Xbox Live.
Well, Xbox Live really ties into a lot of the multiplayer stuff and what we've taken to push that, you know, to the next level. And, you know, one of the first things players are going to be able to do with the support through Xbox Live is simply online persistent stats, right? So now you can find out who's the best at doing any one of the new features of the multiplayer. You know, we got 24 players now, right?
So you're up to 24 players. That's big right there.
If you got a clan, guess what? It's going to have to get bigger.
Yeah.
we got character classes now, right? So we got 7 different character classes.
Yeah, walk me through each one of those and how they figure into the multiplayer gameplay.
Sure. I mean, you've got light assault, which essentially allows you to carry a Tommy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got heavy assault, which then throws a bar into your hands, and those two particular classes are able to carry anti-personnel mines, right? You've got an anti-armor class, which allows you to carry, you know, bazooka or Panzerschreck. You've got a support class, which introduces one of our new weapons to the Call of Duty franchise, which we're very excited about, which is the light machine gun, right? So typically in Call of Duty games, you'll play through the level and you'll see like an MG42, right?
Yep.
Or you'll be in multiplayer and you see an MG42 and you can jump on it. Well, not anymore. Now you get to pick a class that carries either a 30 cal or an MG34 and allows you to run throughout the world and take that gun and mount it on windowsills, low walls, or even rocks or crates.
So you can actually take your gun, lay it down, and then start laying down suppressing fire.
That's right. Now you control where those containment lines are.
Wow.
Pretty cool stuff. You can be a scout, right? A scout gets an artillery barrage and has the ability to use a sniper rifle. You can be a medic. Medic can heal guys and throw down smoke grenades. So that's, I think I've covered most of them. I'm trying to remember to go through the full list.
That alone is phenomenal. So obviously, and there's obviously some new game modes that I've read about as well.
Yeah, I mean, with the classes, we had to introduce a gameplay mode that was very dependent upon team play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really accenting all of the special abilities of the classes. And that new gameplay mode is called War, right?
Okay.
And what happens in War is you'll have, depending on the size of the map, obviously because we can have 24 players, you'll either have 3 or 5 locations you'll be fighting for, right? Now, the catch is that everyone's only ever fighting for one location at a time, and that's the only available location to capture, right?
Okay.
For example, if the game starts up and you've got 5 locations, location 3 is going to be the area everyone's going to be fighting for.
So everyone's
going
to rush to location 3, and it's going to be a pretty hot zone.
Yeah, we wanted to take that fast action, frantic style pace of the franchise and what it's known for and bring all of its attention right on top of one particular area. So when we're able to beef up the game and get those 24 players in there, the next step was, how can we guarantee those 24 players are always fighting over the same particular area?
You're going to bring them all to one point and just have them duke it out.
Exactly. So then when you capture, you know, Area 3, you could move into Area 4, and then it just shifts until you either get to, you know, Location 1 or Location 5, and then you've got to fight for your life to not lose the gameplay mode, and that's essentially War.
Now, I was talking with you a little earlier, and you were telling me that you actually are the designer for all the different platforms that the that COD3 will be coming out for. What are some of those other platforms?
We're proud to say that COD3 is going to be coming out on the PS2,
mm-hmm.
Xbox,
yep.
The 360, of course,
yep.
PS3 launch title, and Wii launch title.
So you're pretty much everywhere.
We are cross-platform, big time.
Yeah, that's an understatement. So what are some, you know, obviously since most of my listeners are Xbox 360 owners, what are some of the benefits they get for having, you know, COD3 being the second generation, now a second generation on the Xbox 360?
Well, you know, COD 3 really is tapping into the potential of what the 360 can offer. So from the next-gen perspective, and let's not even including Xbox Live and all the multiplayer components, right?
Sure.
Just from the next-gen perspective, we're really getting into everything that the engine has to offer. I mean, we've rebuilt the render from the ground up. So, as I mentioned earlier, you'll see the grass, you know, it'll crumple when you walk over it. The volume of things and enemies you'll see on the screen. The length of the maps. Our maps are now 2 to 3 times longer, if not longer, than a regular Call of Duty map. So when you play through one of our maps, that's a good long battle you'll be playing through because of our streaming engine, which just allows us to just keep going forward and forward and forward.
So the streaming engine, for those people that don't know, it's basically as you're playing the level, it's kind of loading in the background.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happens during our loading screens, which we were able to take out of the game as well. So through playing the normal game, the levels will load, right? And you'll just get a super long level to play through, which is fantastic. But then when the level ends, you get the in-game cinematic, and essentially, as you're playing Call of Duty 3, there's never a break. There's never a hiccup that takes you out of the cinematic experience.
Out of the gameplay. That sounds fantastic. I mean, it's really, as I said, a lot of people know this game from COD or COD 2, as you call it. And then COD 3 is coming out. I mean, it's a great holiday to be an Xbox 360 owner. I want to ask you something, though, Jeremy, before I let you go. What's your gamer tag?
It's my gamer tag is Elite Lutes.
Spell that for people.
ELITELUDES.
Great, because I'm sure some people are going to want to play you in COD 3 when it comes out. So look out for that. So COD 3 is in stores this week on Xbox 360. Jeremy, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, guys. I just wanted to say one more thing.
Sure.
Thank you, Larry. I just want to say one more thing, which is I'd love to give a great and big shout-out to the team and everybody who's a part of the Call of Duty franchise for bringing it together and pushing it through, and most importantly, giving a special thanks to the fans and to their undying support, and that we're very thankful and blessed to be able to do this job, and that we wouldn't be able to do if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you so much for supporting us.
Well, I'm sure the fans, I'm speaking on their behalf, I'm sure they're right back at you because they're so excited to have this title come out. I mean, it's going to be a great time this holiday season, and maybe COD 3 will overtake COD 2 for the top position on Xbox Live. Again, Jeremy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Isn't that the kind of guy you want designing your games? I mean, it sounds like he and his team are really focused on the gameplay and so forth. I mean, as is evident by the fact that last year they had an update that kind of addressed all the issues in the multiplayer for Xbox Live, and I'm sure once I toss it in tonight that they'll be, the multiplayer will be just as good. So I am thrilled about that. So COD 3 in stores this week. You'll be able to drive vehicles. And I can tell you this. I did take a little peek at it earlier while the interview was playing. And you can drive a motorcycle with a sidecar. It's kind of cool. These tanks, which just boom. I mean, it's just great. So looking forward to that. And of course, the single player, which is always spectacular. So the single player is going to be fantastic. So there you go. So that's those are kind of the major interviews I want to get out of the way. Oh wait, one more. Oh yeah, Greg Canessa. Greg Canessa is the grandfather of Xbox Live Arcade. He's been on this show frequently. I think I've had him on at least two or three times. Always a favorite. He's probably one of the top guests that I get requested to come on the show on a regular basis because they want to, folks want to hear what's going on with Arcade. And I'm pleased to announce that one of the reasons, that normally I post the show on Sunday evening and now it's being posted early Monday morning because he has some surprises in store that he's going to share with us right now that never before heard information is now going to flow out of this file and into your headphones, as it may be. So let me go ahead and play the interview with Greg. I want to thank Greg in advance for coming on to the show. I'm really excited to talk to him. I was really excited to talk to him. I still am. And some of the great stuff he's got to say, I think you'll really like it. So Greg Canessa, Xbox Live Arcade. All right, as promised, in the sitting in the chair right now is Silver Surfer himself, Greg Canessa. Hello, Greg.
How you doing, Major?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you back. It's you've been on the show a few times already.
I have, and I'm happy to be here to join you for your 200th episode. This is an awesome honor.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you found some time for me because we're big announcements happened earlier today, and I want to talk to you about that. But we've got a lot. You and I have a lot to discuss because the fans have been asking, get Greg back. We want to talk to him.
Cool.
So, do you want to talk about the announcements right away? Let's talk about some of the announcements that we just announced.
I would love to talk about some of the announcements. We have a lot of really exciting stuff that we announced this morning. The first one is we're very excited to announce our relationship with Atari.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big announcement for us. We have been working with Atari in secret for a number of months to sort of round out our retro arcade partnerships. As you know, we have a lot of cool retro arcade partnerships with everyone from Namco to Konami to Capcom, Sega, and others. Atari was the one missing name from that list.
Right.
And so I'm really, really happy to announce that we have formed a partnership with Atari to bring all of the cool classic Atari games, that many of which we grew up with in coin-op on 2600 and other mm-hmm. Atari gaming systems, to Xbox Live Arcade. Centipede, Millipede, Battle Zone, Asteroids, Missile Command, Tempest.
Wait a minute. Tempest. Yeah. So that's the one that I had a blast with when I was in the arcade.
Yep.
Where you basically take that dial and you spin it around.
Yep.
How are we going to do that on the 360 controller?
We're going to do that with the analog stick.
Okay.
And it actually is pretty compelling. It actually provides for some precision control as you, you know, round the bend, whatever shape, as you know, right. in Tempest, it sort of changes the shapes.
Yeah.
And so you're able to round the bend. It's actually, I played it myself. It's actually really, a really great control scheme for that.
And then, I'm sorry, there was another one that you said after Tempest.
And Warlords.
Okay,
Warlords
good.
Is the last one, which is a cult, kind of a cult classic favorite from both the old coin-op guys and then also a cult classic from the 2600 days. So.
And these are all amazing. I mean, these are all really cool titles.
Yeah, they're all. You know, we sort of picked the cream of the crop with Atari. Right. You know, we sat down with Atari and we said, what are the top franchises from the classic early '80s, late '70s Atari days? And those are the ones that we wanted to bring to Xbox Live Arcade. Not only are we doing the classic versions of those, but we're also doing updated versions with all new updated graphics, and of course, we're adding support for achievements and leaderboards and gamer score, so you're going to be able to play these games. And in the case of, say, Battlezone, for example, you're going to be able to play multiplayer over live.
Oh yeah!
So
do I get to be the saucer that
yeah.
would come across? That would come across the screen.
That was Asteroids.
No, there was. I remember there was at one point. No, there was actually a saucer that would come across on the horizon.
Oh, you know, there may have been
that you tried to shoot. I remember. There, I don't. There, I know Battlezone.
Oh, okay. I'll trust you.
So there's multiplayer in that one. What are some of the other live features on some of the other titles?
Well, in the case of Battlezone, again, you know, we actually are supporting the Xbox Live Vision camera, which is cool.
Really?
So you're actually going to be able to check out your buddies. You can watch live video feed of your opponents while you're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really cool. In the case of Warlords, of course, Warlords inherently was a multiplayer game.
Right.
So we're gonna do multiplayer four-way on that, where, you know, each player is in a corner of the screen and you're playing Warlords against each other. So that's going to be a lot of fun. In the case of, you know, games like Asteroids, we're doing Asteroids and Asteroids Deluxe together as one title.
Okay.
So for one price point, you're going to be able to get you know, the classic version of Asteroids, which was that sort of vector graphics mode. And then in the case of Asteroids Deluxe, it's completely remade with all new graphics, very fresh, updated look.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Centipede and Millipede, we're actually doing those together at one price.
Mm-hmm.
So those two titles will be offered together. As you know, Millipede was a sequel to Centipede.
Sure.
Some people really prefer Centipede. Others really prefer Millipede. There's sort of two camps out there.
So I'll get the multi-leg multi-pack.
Yeah. not sure about that, but so, and then Missile Command, in the case of Missile Command, we're doing updated graphics. Really the big thing there is Missile Command's inherently a single player game, so
right.
we're not gonna, you know, do anything forced there, but we have the 3D rendered vistas, we have the updated graphics, so it's got kind of a complete graphics overhaul, which we're super excited about.
So one thing I want to ask, these are all great from Atari. One of the things I want to ask is, you know, when can we expect this? Because that's what everyone always asks is, Greg, we need a bigger list. We want to know what's coming out within a few weeks. Could we do that?
Right. You know, these titles are going to be launching on Xbox Live Arcade the first half of next year.
Okay.
We're going to be releasing them starting in January is the current plan.
Okay.
And we're going to be releasing roughly one a month.
Okay.
To really provide
one of these. You'll
momentum.
Have more releases.
One of the. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is just part of the huge Xbox Live Arcade portfolio we have planned for 2007. But in terms of the Atari releases, we don't want to just sort of throw them all in the community at once.
Right.
We want to give enough, you know, opportunity for people to experience and enjoy them independently. So beginning in January 2007, we're going to be releasing them again, roughly on a schedule once a month.
So a lot of people have asked, how can we, you know, I'm sure you hear this and see this on the boards, because I know you read all the message boards crazily like I do.
I spend a lot of time on them.
How can we get are we going to get to a point where we're going to be able to release the list? We did this in the summer where we released the arcade list, and I want to talk about if we're ever going to get back to that, because that's what people are looking for.
Yes. Well, you know, we've been working really hard again to try, as we scale up the arcade business and we add lots and lots more titles to the queue. We've publicly talked about how the fact we have over 85 titles in development. You know,
right.
Peter Moore talked about that recently at X06.
Right.
So we have a lot of titles in development. We've been pretty serious about Xbox Live Arcade Wednesdays. We've been trying our best. I think we've only missed once or twice now since we announced it back in July.
Now, you know, some people are arguing that, well, no, an Uno deck doesn't count.
Well, I'm counting those as the misses. Actually.
Okay. Oh, really?
We actually haven't ever missed nothing.
Right.
Like,
zero.
Had nothing in a week.
Right.
We've had something every week.
Got it.
And in a couple of instances, we've done a cameo theme deck or a piece of PDLC in lieu of a Cloning Clyde pack in lieu of an arcade title.
An
so
release,
I count those as the misses.
Okay, that's good.
But in, with the exception of that, you know, we've been pretty accurate in terms of being able to release one title per week on Wednesdays. Of course, Ultimate Mortal Kombat got released a little prematurely
in that case. That must have driven you crazy. It drove me crazy.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. I was actually in a poker tournament when that happened, and actually got some frantic phone calls on a Friday afternoon about that. So it was a little crazy here, but that's okay.
It was all good.
It was all good. And, you know, the gaming community hopefully enjoyed getting the next Xbox Live Arcade title a few days early. Ultimate Mortal Kombat's done it very well. So
yeah, it's actually number one on the one on the list, I believe, this week. I just pulled the numbers a few days ago, so that's great.
Yeah, we're really excited about it, and the Xbox Live community in particular has really picked it up. The Gold members have really picked it up. They're playing a lot of multiplayer online.
Yep.
The user minutes and time spent online on the title is phenomenal. Midway is very happy. So, but moving forward, to address your question, you know, we are going to try and give you guys more and more advance notice. It's been a little touch and go. You know, we're definitely giving some notice now. Maybe it's only a day or two.
Right.
And we're going to be moving more towards hopefully getting back to issuing schedules a week or two or three out.
Right.
But to be honest with you, Larry, it's really about not missetting people's expectations.
And I know that better than anybody.
You know, the last thing we could do, you know, we got burned a little bit earlier, you know, with the community, and they were angry, and they should have been, you know.
Right.
It's very justified for saying, you know, you guys said you were going to do this and then you didn't do this. You know, we didn't want to get in that situation again. So we'd rather not announce something
than
announce something and then miss the date.
Right.
Because that just missets everyone's expectations.
Right. That's
worse. Going forward, we're working on it. You know, our PR team is very engaged. Our marketing team is very engaged in making sure that we have the proper announcement strategy against these title releases, and as soon as we have the information, we pass it on to the community.
So I'm going to ask you, can you at least tell me what's going to release maybe by the end of the year?
Yes, absolutely. So we do have a number of titles that we're announcing are going to be releasing before the end of the year that we feel really good about announcing before December 31st.
Okay.
Releasing
2006.
31st, 2006, yes. And so we've announced six titles today that we feel really good about. Now, these aren't the only six titles
we're
going to be releasing between here and there.
But these are the ones you're comfortable
with. But these are the ones we're pretty comfortable with saying that you can expect these by the end of the year.
Okay.
So those titles actually in order are, and frankly, a lot of these are some of the indie titles that we've all been waiting for, that we've been building a little anticipation around. They're frankly the best examples of Xbox Live Arcade's business going forward. Small Arms, we've got coming from Gastronaut Studios. These titles that I'm giving you are not necessarily in the order they're going to be released.
This is just a list.
But this is just a list, right, exactly. Small Arms from Gastronaut, of course, you know, the indie original title from Gastronaut, which is a sort of shooter meets Smash Brothers sort of game. Very cool title.
So this is an original title.
Original title designed specifically for Xbox 360 and Xbox Live Arcade.
Great.
From a small indie developer in Seattle named Gastronaut Studios. There's four guys working on it. They've been working on it for over a year. Awesome Xbox Live multiplayer play. Awesome.
Cool.
Game looks beautiful. It's full 1080i, high def. Looks awesome.
Ready to go.
Novadrome, which is a very cool game we actually haven't talked a lot about to date, but is a title coming from Buena Vista Games in partnership with a small indie developer. And that is more of a futuristic sort of racing title that again, we haven't really shown that much of, but we're really excited.
Is it Ridge Racer?
Not like Ridge Racer. No. We don't do a lot of Ridge Racer around here. Of course, Namco is a very important partner of ours for arcade, so I don't mean to rip on them as much as I am ripping on
some other folks.
So the third title I'm super excited about is Assault Heroes. And this is a title that's kind of, again, in partnership with a partnership between a small indie developer and a large publisher that have partnered to bring this together. This is Wanako. The small developer is Wanako. We've talked to them about them a lot in the past. And Vivendi Games, that is getting very, very serious about the arcade business. And these guys are actually developing a game it's an originally developed for Xbox Live Arcade top-down shooter that is personally probably my most my personal favorite in terms of all the titles we're going to be releasing. This title and Heavy Weapon are the two that I'm most excited about for this holiday. This title, we actually showed it at XO6, and it plays awesome.
Oh, I remember you showing me this when
this
we were in Barcelona. I do remember this one, right.
And the, it plays overhead. It just it is a blast to play. It's got sort of that level progression. You're shooting everything. You can hop in and out of vehicles. There's bosses and mini bosses. Great level progression. There's co-op play. It's just it's an awesome game.
Cool. So Assault Heroes.
Yep, Assault Heroes. The next one is Heavy Weapon, and this is a game from PopCap, but a game that is, you know, PopCap, of course, is really famous for Bejeweled and Bejeweled
the casual
and Zuma,
games.
The casual
My
games.
My mom's games.
Right. This is a game, and they do an excellent job of that. You know, they've got some great special sauce they put on those games that I think make them stand out above the rest. This title is a game that is really more conducive to the Xbox Live Arcade platform and to the console platform, in that it is a shooter. It's irreverent. It's satirical.
So it's original.
It's another original title. It's original. It does exist on the PC.
Okay.
But, frankly, Xbox Live Arcade is really the platform that, that both Microsoft and PopCap believe is the right platform for this title, this type of title. It's almost like a Moon Patrol, if you remember Moon Patrol from back in the day. But with 1080i high def graphics, it's a shooter. It's like I said, it's very funny and irreverent in its presentation. It's just a phenomenal game.
Any live support?
Excited about it. And yes, it does have Xbox Live multiplayer co-op.
There we go.
So that title is going to be great.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to do four way in partnership with PopCap. We're doing a four way simultaneous multiplayer on that one. So that's going to be
awesome. So those are 1, 2, 3, 4 original titles.
Four original titles.
Wow.
Exactly. We're really, like I said, we're getting serious about this this indie category. It's always been part of Xbox Live Arcade.
Right.
Half of the portfolio. People oftentimes forget
right.
that half of the Xbox Live Arcade portfolio today is more than half actually of the 35 titles. Are independent developed titles or original titles.
Yep.
They're not retro games.
Right.
Retro is a lot of what we've been doing a lot of, over the last few months.
Yeah.
But
it's just most recent that people
think most recent, exactly. And, you know, we have titles like Geometry Wars, titles like Clone and Clyde, titles like Wick Fable of Souls, Mutant Storm Reloaded. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the titles that we have that are already indie and original. We've staked the leadership position there in terms of indie and original development. We're going to continue to do that. The indie stuff just takes a little longer to build.
Right.
And this is the thing people need to understand. When you're an indie and you have three people working for you, sometimes it takes a little longer than 3 months to pop out a game.
Good point.
So, and you really want to make sure that you put your signature on it, and sometimes that takes 6 months, 9 months, a year to do. Like in the case of Small Arms, that title has been in development for over a year. We're just now seeing the fruits of our labors here with a lot of working with over 100 indie developers on Xbox Live Arcade development. And so moving forward, yes, are you going to keep seeing some retro games? Sure, we're not done there. But the emphasis is really going to be on indie and original titles, and we're super excited about that.
So I'm looking over at the piece of paper you have, and I see two more names on the list. And I can't read them, though, so tell me what they are.
So we definitely do have we have a bit more coming from in the retro space from our partners at Konami and Midway. So we're happy to announce that Defender is going to be hitting this year and from Midway, of course. And this is the classic game that we all grew up with. Really awesome, updated graphics.
I'm mashing the buttons right now.
We really worked closely with Midway on the controls for this one, too, because the controls for the classic game, I don't know if you remember, but in the old classic coin-op game, it was an up-down stick and a couple buttons that were thrusters, and it was...
Thruster and a shooter.
Right. It worked well.
A smart bomb.
Yeah, and a smart bomb button, exactly.
Right.
But that control mechanism was a little weird
and
not intuitive on a controller, so we really remapped the controls to make it much more intuitive, so when you hit, you know, left and right on the analog stick, it actually goes in that direction and auto thrust as opposed to you having to hit a separate button to thrust.
Got it.
So we really worked closely with Midway. We feel really good about it. It's got some updated graphic backgrounds in it. Of course, it's got all the leaderboards, achievements, gamer score, all that great stuff. So that title's going to be great. And then I'm really happy to announce that that as of this Wednesday is Xbox Live.
So you're putting a stake in the sand right now, and you're saying this Wednesday.
We're giving you a little more notice than we normally do.
Yep.
And I'm happy to say that this Wednesday's release will be Contra from Konami.
Okay.
So I know this is one that has been eagerly awaited and anticipated amongst the community. I've been waiting personally for it. I'm a huge Contra fan. It's really going to be exciting to finally see this game ship and get out on Xbox Live Arcade. We've worked starts with Konami. Of course, we've talked quite a bit about this title in the past. It's got your great leaderboards achievements. It's got updated visuals. It's got Xbox Live leaderboard and achievement play and multiplayer play. Mm-hmm. You can battle all eight levels together over Xbox Live or locally on the same console. So it's great. And then it's, of course, just classic Contra fun. That's going to be 400 points, and it's going to be available at our regular Xbox Live Arcade Wednesday's time of 0800 GMT on Wednesday.
Which is 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning.
Pacific time. And
yep.
Check your local listings for whatever time that means where you are. So that's some great titles. So because a lot of people have been saying, oh, well, the Xbox Live Arcade is now, you know, feels like it's all retro all the time. And you just disproved that by saying, look at all these in addition to all the, all the lists, just to be clear, Small Arms, Novadrome, Assault Heroes, Heavy Weapon, those are all coming out before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Before the end of 2006, and then you also said Defender and Contra. Contra's coming out this week.
Contra's coming out this week. Defender's coming out.
Not in that order. Could be a different order.
Yep, and there are other titles that we're still trying to get into the year that we just we don't know, so we're not going to announce them yet.
We've got a couple of surprises.
We've got a couple of surprises in store, and we've got a couple things that are still, you know, kind of touch and go, just to make sure that we feel really good about being able to ship them this year. And so we're going to hold off on those, and we're going to keep some surprises in the bag. But at least you can count on those titles. We feel really good about, we're going to have well over 40 titles this year in Xbox Live Arcade. It really comes down to the quality. And this is the thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, we said earlier on in the year, we set a rough benchmark of, you know, maybe up to 50 titles, you know, by the end of the year. It looks like we're going to be a little shy of that.
How many?
But we're going to be, I'm comfortable saying over 40 right now. And really what it comes down to is it comes down to quality.
Right.
We want to make sure that not only do we approve the right titles to go into production, but the titles coming out the other end of the pipe are of the quality bar that the Xbox Live Arcade gamer has come to expect.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we're not going to ship crappy titles or games that are broken or break your 360 or whatever. That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, I mean, because you could sit here all day and just rubber stamp stuff and get anything wanted out there, but you don't want to do that. We're busy.
That's right.
Get someone else to answer that. We're busy, damn it.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's all right. They want to talk to you.
But, it's a really hard decision for us to make sometimes, because on one hand, we want to get titles out there for the gamers, and we want to make sure that everyone's happy and excited about Live Arcade. We have so many titles in development. We're so excited to be able to present these to the world and be able to, you know, have the community embrace them as much as they've embraced our titles to date. We want to get these titles out, believe us. But at the same time, we don't want to ship titles before they're ready. And so I think we've done a pretty good job by the community, frankly, by getting roughly a title out a week.
Yep.
We're going to continue to do that. We might even do over-deliver on that, you know, between now and the end of the year, but we don't know. And coming into the early part of next year, we want to make sure that we have titles there, you know, one a week. And then eventually it's going to get more than that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm not making any specific commitments right now, but we are going to be at a world very soon where we're shipping two titles a week.
So you got the pipeline starting to back up. It's starting to get busy.
The pipeline is so full right now. We have a ton of titles that are going to be shipping in 2007. Way more than we shipped in the first year.
Great.
Way more.
Good.
So the games are coming. Give us a little bit of time to get them right. And we're going to continue to pour fuel in this fire.
You must be pretty excited then about that new feature in the dashboard to auto-download the arcade titles.
Yes.
So let's talk about that, because a lot of people may not know
that.
Sure.
So really, there's been a few things that we did, major improvements. The first thing we did was we talked about and we've talked about this quite a bit. We've actually gotten a lot of feedback from the community. Can you please make my arcade games that I own or that I have the trial version of? Stuff on my memory device. Show up in my list quickly.
Yeah.
You know, rather than that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that they took like 25 seconds to pop it up. So we worked hard. We figured out the technical solution, and I'm happy to say now your collection shows up instantly.
Yeah, people are seeing that and they're excited.
Yep. So that's a huge improvement. The second improvement is really the ability to sort of manage your collection and get to your games really quickly, rather than that long list, which obviously doesn't scale to a lot of titles. We have 35 titles in there today, and if you have 35 titles in arcade,
it gets a little unwieldy.
So we really added two improvements. improvements. The first one is the ability to sort of tab over and organize by category. So you can now manage your collection by game genres. So if you just want to check out your retro classics, you can click on the retro classics category and it'll just show up those games up. And the second improvement we made is we added the ability to change the sort order on your collection so you can sort not only alphabetically but by recently played game. So now, you know, if you've been just playing Doom and Luminous lately, those are going to be at the top of your list.
You can sort it that way.
And you can sort it that way. So that's a major improvement. The third major improvement, we've added a number of features beyond that to Arcade. We've added this auto-download feature, which is hopefully going to be a huge convenience.
How does that
work? What that is very simple. There's a toggle. There's a switch, essentially, on the Xbox Live Arcade homepage. Mm-hmm. And all you do is you scroll down there and hit A on your button to turn it on or off. Mm-hmm. And if you have it on, what we do is when we release new Xbox Live Arcade titles on Marketplace, they're now flagged with a new icon. Mm-hmm. And the new icon is, it expires after a couple of weeks.
Right.
But it's whatever the newest titles, new last couple weeks releases are, mm-hmm. When those hit Xbox Live Marketplace, the system will automatically detect that they've been added to Marketplace and will automatically download those games and add them to your collection, mm-hmm. The trial version to your collection.
The trial version
to your collection without you doing anything. As long as your console's on, it sort of downloads it in the background. And when you come back into Arcade, you've got a little new icon by the things that you haven't checked out yet that have been added to
your collection. So it does it one at a time? Does it do the most recent? Like if I've gone away for 3 weeks, is it going to download the last three?
It downloads them one at a time.
Oh, so sequentially.
It just sequentially. It downloads them one at a time. And then once you've gone into the game and denoted, you know, the trial, the little new icon goes away.
Right. So it's like a read, unread, an email.
It's sort of like a read, unread, an email almost.
Right. Okay.
And so we've got that feature, auto-download. We think that's going to be great in sort of helping to save people time and get games, you know, if you're a real Xbox Live Arcade fan, and you download everything anyway.
Yeah, and these guys are doing that.
This saves you a lot of steps. So we've also done a couple of other things. We've added Telefriend to Xbox Live Arcade. So if you own the game, mm-hmm. you now can send a quick message by hitting the Telefriend button in the Arcade interface to any friend on your friends list to tell them about some cool new game that you bought that you think is really great in Arcade.
Right.
And then the final thing we've done is we've added a couple of new views to Xbox Live Arcade so that you can view one of the most popular things on the boards in the community has been the friends leaderboard.
Yep.
The little thing that scrolls at the bottom when you own the game and you can see, or even when you don't own the game, you can see who's kind of playing it and who's on the top 10 list. But sitting there, you know, through that thing and waiting 1, 2, 3, you know, it takes a little while. So we added a new view for that within Xbox Live Arcade. So you don't have to go into the game again. You can check out your top 10 friends leaderboard all at once on one screen for any game. And then we've also added an achievements view, a really cool graphical achievements view where you can check out all the achievements in a particular game. We have that kind of sort of achievements preview on the, you know, in the My Arcade game collection, where you can go and drill down on that now and you can view not only the achievements you've earned and the achievements you haven't earned, but you can now scroll over them and it gives you the description of how to earn them.
So you should check that out right now. For those of you that don't know, just, you know, fire up your Xbox 360. You've already got the update.
Yep.
And just go right into it, and you can take a look at some of these cool things.
That's right.
So that's some good stuff. So now I have to ask this question, because I've got you in here, and we've been chatting for a little bit, but and my audience would kill me if I didn't ask you what I'm about to ask you.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Here's the wind-up.
Okay.
Let's talk about Luminous.
Okay, Luminous. Yeah, Luminous. I know.
It's a huge hit for us. I mean, it's the number two most popular game on Xbox Live Arcade last week.
Yep.
But there was when it came out, a lot of people were confused. So I want to talk about that confusion.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Luminous Live, we tried something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we worked with Q Entertainment very closely with them, with Mizuguchi-san. And Mizuguchi had a vision for what he wanted to do with the evolution of his franchise, very successful PSP franchise, Luminous. And so, you know, we began those discussions, you know, last year. And we've been working over the last year to really try something a little different in Xbox Live Arcade. Luminous Live is, in many ways, I think of it as in between a retail game and an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Okay.
It's a lot more extensive in terms of gameplay modes and production quality and development costs than other Xbox Live Arcade games. It really bumps up, you know, up there to the top. And, you know, you look at the PSP version, which sold for $40.
Mm-hmm.
We're offering more gameplay and more modes and, on balance, more game than the PSP version at $15.
So $15 meaning the purchase of the Lunas pack?
1,200 points.
And then...
I'm actually talking even before the advanced pack.
Okay, so even before the advanced pack. I mean, wow.
If you really want to do the side-by-side, this is something I'd love to clarify for the community.
Yeah.
Because if you really want to do the side-by-side, we actually have done the side-by-side. And people somehow have this perception that the PSP version was the full game and our version isn't the full game. That just isn't true.
Okay.
We have not only the full Luminous mode, which is, you know, the main Luminous mode that the PSP version had, which is challenge mode.
Right.
We also have a versus CPU mode. We also have a time trial mode, and actually there's several different time trial modes. We also have the puzzle mode that the PSP version had, but we also have an exclusive mode, the mission mode, that was not in the PSP version. We also have a skin edit mode, which was not in the PSP version, that allows you to sort of mix and match any skins that you've unlocked and play them through in any order as a loop or as a once through.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a whole bunch of other stuff that we've added to the game. So the ability to download additional content is new. The ability to play multiplayer over Xbox Live is completely new. The PSP version didn't have any sort of capabilities. It had their sort of wireless protocol, so you could play PSP to PSP in the room.
Kind of peer-to-peer connect, right.
Which was fun, but to be honest with you, how often do you have two people with a PSP in the room, with both of which have a copy of Luminous?
I was going to say, usually there's one person with a DS in the room.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, PSPs are kind of rare nowadays anyway.
Right.
But how often do you have two people with a PSP in a room? So we have the ability to add that awesome gameplay mode that Mizuguchi-san and Q Entertainment created, which is that sort of that versus mode where you're pushing the line back and forth, but you're able to play it against a community of hundreds of thousands of people.
Over live, which is
a huge innovation. We've also created the ability to do things like save ghosts. This is something that most people don't recognize. You can even actually save your ghost, and you can go into time trial mode and 60-second mode, and you can actually save a ghost of your run, and then you can share that. So, I mean, you have the, and then play against your ghost later on. So, I mean, there's a ton of stuff that's in our version of Luminous, and new gameplay modes, new features, live integration, not to mention achievements, leaderboards, gamer score. We have extensive leaderboards, every mode, local. We've got local leaderboards for that game. So not only is it on live, do you have the live modes and the single player and the versus, but you've also got the ability to do a local leaderboard. So people, just you and your family, for instance, can compete without going onto live or without going into single-player leaderboards. So there's a whole bunch of this in this game.
I guess it's a lot of people are confused because, obviously, the game came out for the PSP, and then it came out on Xbox Live, and that's the first thing they do is they panic because it's they don't think it's the same game. So it's clearly, as you've demonstrated, it's a different game.
It's a different game. It's a different
game. It's almost like Luminous 2.0.
The whole point of it, exactly. The whole point of it was supposed to be the evolution of the Xbox, the Luminous Live franchise. That was the vision that Q Entertainment came to us with, and they didn't want to do a port.
Right.
We didn't want a port.
Right.
They didn't want a port. We didn't want, you know, we wanted to view this more as a sequel or more as an evolution of the franchise. And so between all the stuff that I mentioned and the ability to do, you know, some of the stuff we have planned, the ability to do music videos and things in the background, which are, you know, sort of future upgrades through premium downloadable content.
Right.
You know, we're super excited about the title because it ultimately provides the users with choice.
Right.
It's all about choice.
I don't know.
Because if you think about it, and that's not just a buzzword. I know that's a marketing PR buzzword or whatever, but it honestly is, because it's about customizing your Luminous experience. Would you rather have us charge $40 for a port of the PSP version, or would you rather have us give you a version for $15 that has as much, if not more, and I think I've demonstrated to you it has a lot more than the PSP version, for $15, which is $25 cheaper than the PSP version, and for those of you that are that are good at math, and then be able to have the ability to customize your Luminous experience further. If you're into skins, you can buy some more skins. If you're into more puzzles or more missions, you can get some of those. You know, if you're into Madonna, you can get a Madonna, you know, music video. But you don't have to buy that stuff.
It's optional.
It's optional. Exactly.
So there you go. So that's the word on. I mean, you've demonstrated it. And if you draw a line down the middle of the paper, put the PSP on all the features on one side and Xbox Live on the other side.
Absolutely.
And then the price at the bottom,
yeah. Exactly. It's a lot more value for your buck. And I can tell you, it's done very, very well. The community in general has really voted with their feet, and they've been buying the title in droves. We have a lot of people. We have a huge, vibrant community on Xbox Live. So the title is doing very well, and we're actually really proud of what we've done on Luminous Live.
So there you go. That's the answer. So I'm going to let you go in just a minute, but I want to talk about the Pac-Man World Championship.
Oh, great.
So that's coming up next year.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That's coming up next year.
The Pac-Man World Championship is a very cool program that we announced at Tokyo Game Show.
Mm-hmm.
In partnership with Namco.
Right.
And essentially what we want to do is, you know, we looked at Pac-Man sales and we looked and we said, wow, you know, Pac-Man is such a perennial franchise. It's done so well in Xbox Live Arcade. Namco has been ecstatic about the sales performance. We've been ecstatic about the sales performance. We're, and it's more than just sales. It's been really about the community around Pac-Man. The fact that this is a 25-year-old storied franchise that has survived the test of time and is fun to play today as it was 25 years ago. It's probably the best example in video gaming of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, you know, what can we do around Pac-Man that is cool, new, innovative, that we haven't done before, that no one has done before? And so Namco is a very important partner of ours, and they're looking to get into Xbox Live Arcade even more and more. And so we came up with this idea together of the Pac-Man World Championships. And really, this is all about, for the first time in history, creating, you know, of course, there was back in the days of Billy Mitchell and the Breaking the Machine and stuff. There was a lot of press stories and such about, you know, the success of Pac-Man,
right,
and about people that were obsessed with Pac-Man. There was a Pac-Man Fever song.
Right.
There was, you know, it's a cultural phenomenon, at least in the United States.
Yeah, for those of you young kids listening, it was a big deal back then.
It was a huge deal. And we think that there's a potential to bring back some of that Pac-Man fever. And so what we've done in partnership with Namco is we've announced that we are going to be hosting the worldwide Pac-Man World Championships in New York City at a date to be announced soon, mm-hmm. Next year, early next year. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a series of qualifying events, and people from throughout the world are going to be able to play the Xbox Live Arcade version of Pac-Man. They're going to be able to qualify, and we're going to whittle down the list to the top players in the world, and we're going to invite those folks to New York City, and we're going to co-host with Namco a worldwide championship tournament hosted by and refereed by none other than Iwatani-san, Toru Iwatani, who is the original creator of Pac-Man at Namco.
And if there's anybody qualified to judge it, he's the man.
There's anyone else who's qualified, it's him. And he's super excited about this. We're going to have the top 10 players in the world. We're going to have, you know, special guests. We're going to have lots of prizes. We have lots of cool stuff in store that we haven't announced yet around this. We're working on some very cool, awesome stuff with Namco around this. But this is the type of event that is going to bring the community together in physical form in New York City and really give an opportunity for the Xbox Live Gold subscribers, the MVPs, and others to really get in the game around Xbox Live Arcade and Pac-Man.
So Pac-Man is, of course, so people, if you're at home now, start practicing. Details coming soon.
Start practicing, absolutely. And we have lots more details coming soon. We're going to be announcing stuff over the next couple of months. It's going to, I think, really wow some folks.
So I'm going to let you go because we've been going on. But I actually came over to your office. Because
yes.
Normally we do this in my office, but I've never been to your office.
Yes.
And I'm in this room at your office, and I should take a photo of this. There is at least 300?
Yeah, it's about 400.
400 board games. Everything from, I see Jenga, to games I've never even heard. What is that? What is this one?
Frische Flupen Frikadellen.
I don't know what that is.
That's a German game.
That is a German game. So, I mean, clearly you like board games.
Yeah, I kind of like board
games. Or was this a storage room before you moved in?
No. No, this is my board game collection. I'm a big board game fan.
What are you playing right now?
Game fan. Oh, I'm playing a lot of games. I'm playing Thurn and Taxis.
Uh-huh.
is fantastic. That's a new one. A lot of these games come from Europe.
Right.
Actually, Europe is all about board games.
Yeah, it's like you're collecting these strange board games. I love this.
Yes, a lot of them are somewhat strange. These are not the type of games you get at Toys R Us. These are the type of games you go to special stores to get.
So I want to point out the fact that I did an interview a couple weeks ago with Albert. And I put a photo up of Albert's office, which is all crazy little you know, his little characters.
Yes.
And now we're in your office. I should probably get a photo of this because people, you know, we have we have some issues here at Xbox, but that's okay.
Yes, we're in the game.
So
I've got my 360 over here.
Yeah,
my dev kit.
Yeah,
my original Xbox.
Yeah, you've got everything in here. You've got this, but you've on your dev kit. You've probably got all of the games we talked about, and that's where we're going to wind up.
Yeah.
So we've got these amazing titles coming out. We have Contra coming up this Wednesday.
Yep.
And then we have, of course, later. Before the end of the year, in no particular order, we've got Defender, Novadrome, Heavy Weapons, Assault Heroes, and Small Arms. Most of these are original games.
Yep.
Wow.
You got it.
Anything else you want to leave us with?
Just the same thing I leave you with every time we talk, which is, you know, hold on a minute.
We're on the phone! God, see this? Look, we're actually in his office and his phone is ringing because obviously he needs to be someplace. All right, it's done. Let it go to voicemail. See? Greg is avoiding the calls for you guys.
So the only thing I would leave you guys with is the same thing I leave you with every time, which is thank you for your support of Arcade, and we listen to you. Please keep the suggestions coming. Last time I was on your podcast, I had over 150 messages in my Xbox 360 inbox on live from folks, which were great, and I tried to reply to most of them, if not all of them.
Yep.
It's really hard, actually, to be honest with you, because I have to tap away. I don't know if you know this, but I have to tap away the responses on that in-dash keyboard using my controller.
Hook up your USB.
That's a good one.
Or you can just log into Xbox.com.
Well, you log into Xbox.com, which is great, but there's a limit per day.
Right.
So I can only do like 20 responses a day before it caps me off.
Right.
So I did want to let you know, I do listen to the feedback. Thank you. We listen as a team to the feedback, and we have incorporated many suggestions from the community into our product roadmap, meaning the titles we've decided to do for 2007. So a lot of the stuff, now again, a lot of the suggestions haven't been really around into your original games, have been around classic retro games.
Yes.
Which, okay, we've already talked about. We're really excited about doing that. And we have a lot of the titles based on the community feedback we're actually going to be doing for 2007. So more to come on that. But we do listen to you, and we really appreciate the feedback, and thank you for your support.
Greg, once again, you're always welcome on the show. And this, of course, my 200th episode. I'll have you on hopefully again, maybe the beginning of next year.
Okay.
To talk about some other stuff, and of course, after we announce whenever the Pac-Man stuff happens, we'll talk about that. So,
we'd love
you are always welcome on the show. So there we go. Today we've talked about all these great arcade titles coming up. What's coming up this Wednesday? And we've gotten to the bottom of the Luminous thing.
Okay.
There we go. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks so much.
Always great to get Greg on. He's always welcome on the show, regular guest, and hopefully he straightened out some issues there for you guys regarding Luminous. And I know some people still aren't going to be happy with his answer, and you know he'll take that into account when they're trying to figure out what to do with the future. But you have to remember, this is the guy that is entirely responsible for Xbox Live Arcade and delivering these great casual games through the marketplace. That's him. He's the guy. So, and he is really committed to making this a success and making it what members want, what they want. I mean, as I was talking about in the interview with his office, I mean, this guy's into games, like board games, like you can't imagine. He's into all kinds of games. So it was really, I'm so thrilled he found time for us. But more importantly, I'm glad he was able to talk about Luminous and break all that great new news. So we've got, all these great Atari titles coming out. We've got, and in no particular order, Centipede, Millipede, which is going to be one, he said, what do they call it? The multi-leg pack. Battle Zone, Asteroids, Asteroids Deluxe, Missile Command, Tempest, Warlords. I mean, that one alone, I know a lot of people are really excited about that. And then, you know, a lot of people have been digging Xbox Live Arcade, or there's been this chatter that, oh, it's nothing but retro classics. Well, yeah, we got that handle, but as Greg talked about, there's also a ton of originals that are already on the Xbox Live Arcade and coming, including Small Arms, which is an independent game that, I actually know one of the producers that works on Greg's team. She said that she would hook me up with those guys so I can maybe go over to their studio because I think they're local. Novadrome, which is coming up, which is original. Assault Heroes, which is original. Heavy Weapons, which is original. And then, of course, we've got Defender, which is which is classic. I mean, we all remember sitting in the... And I was doing this during the interview. We all remember playing Defender with in the stand-up cabinet. Just... banging on that button, bang, 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 hitting the smart bombs and reversing and so forth. So that's good news. And then Contra from Konami is one of the classic side-scrolling shooters, and some claim it started it all, the side-scrolling shooter. That's going to be available on Xbox Live Arcade this Wednesday, November 8th, starting at, what is it? I guess it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 0800 GMT, so I'll let you guys do the math. So that's coming up. So great news, great stuff from Greg. I'm so thrilled he came on the show and wanted to share that with us. So thank you, Greg. Thank you. And you'll notice when you were listening to that, you probably heard this woman's voice in the background. I was kind of laughing. That was actually someone from the PR team who helped me arrange that. So that's what that was all about, just to explain it. I didn't want to make sure you weren't hearing anything. That's what you were hearing. I kind of said, okay, you need to be quiet and sit over there, but obviously she was laughing. Anyway, but thank you for setting that up. She came to me on at the last minute and wanted to record it over the weekend, and I said, absolutely, absolutely love to get Greg on the show. So anytime you want to come on, Greg. All right, we're going to kind of get into the regular portion of the show. I mean, going through these fantastic interviews that I've had, and I want to thank somebody. I do want to thank is is Cynix. Cynix is an artist from Canada, and he does a comic strip for the folks up in Canada, and he actually put a 200th comic together, and I posted that Sunday for folks to take a look at. So thank you, Cynix, for that. I also want to thank my folks at the folks at Centricom.net for Secured and Assured hosting. They provide the hosting not only for the show, for the blog, but also for the files. I mean, these files, you have to remember, the podcast I have that we're now up to, here we are on the 200th episode, and I'll talk about, you know, what that means later. But what happens is I upload the show, and it actually is cached at multiple servers around the world so that you can access it pretty much immediately and never have a problem and never run into slow download speeds. So I want to thank the guys at Centricom because they just do a fantastic job for helping me set the cache up with the folks at CacheFly. And then, of course, they're also hosting the blog at majornelson.com, which is part of the high-definition blogcast podcast experience. It's not just an audio file. We have a whole vibrant community over there, and boy, are they vocal. But I want to thank Centricom for putting up with the traffic. And when I say traffic, I think Lithion, who works on the blog, let us know. We passed, I think we were doing one day during the outage or during the downtime, the maintenance that we had a couple weeks ago, we did almost 1.5 million page views. That's the kind of traffic we're dealing with. So, attention advertisers. No, I'm kidding. So we've got a great infrastructure built in, from Centricom, which does all the hosting, to Lithion, who is a Microsoft valued professional, who is just fantastic. And he works on the blog and makes sure that things are running. So thank you, Lithion. Thank you, Centricom. All right, moving forward, I want to talk about my satellite radio appearance. I was asked a couple of weeks ago, I was contacted by the folks over at Maxim Channel 108 on Sirius Radio, which is kind of a men's slanted channel, for those of you familiar with Maxim Magazine in the North, in North America. It's based on that. And I was contacted by them a few weeks ago. They're working on a new show. The show is called Level Up, and it's about gaming. And they asked if I would be a guest on it, or more specifically, a regular guest on it. So I said, sure, why not? So we recorded the first show last week and aired that. And it is it airs Tuesdays at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific on Sirius Satellite Maxim Channel 108. And I'm actually, they gave me the complete version of that. So basically the entire show minus some of the music to post. So I will actually put a link to that in the show notes for this particular show. So if you're interested in hearing the entire show, you can just go ahead and download that. I'm going to see if I can offer that as part of the weekly podcast files that I give you guys. But it's unclear if they're going to let me do that for a lot of different reasons. Legal, blah 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 blah. So that's kind of the deal with that. I should be a regular guest on Sirius Satellite Channel 108 every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Or excuse me, Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. And so listen for me there. I know it's not quite the same as what you're going to get here. It's a little less inside, and it's more multi-platform for obvious reasons, which is fine. I love talking about other platforms, and the hosts are kind of finding their own there. So check that out if you have a Sirius satellite radio in North America. Check out Maxim Channel 108 Tuesdays at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. So I've got a satellite radio program that I'm working on. Of course, I did television. I did the Attack of the Show. Was it last week? I guess it was almost 2 weeks ago. I did the Attack of the Show with Kevin there, and we got into it. I want to talk about that for a moment because we got into some things that a lot of people want to talk about, and that specifically was microtransactions and so forth. So I want to talk about that for a second right now. So the microtransactions are something that a lot of people is the buzzword right now. But we heard Greg talk about Luminous and what he feels about that, and kind of the angle on that. But I want to talk about some of the other microtransaction pieces that have happened. And unfortunately, we didn't get into it that much on the show, on Attack of the Show with Kevin, because they kind of ran out of time, unfortunately. I mean, I was just getting ready to go, and bam, we ran out of time, which is kind of the way it always happens in television. But I want to talk about that for a second. So there's a common misconception out there that the content on Marketplace, or there's content being placed on Marketplace that is required to complete the game or to make the game whole. In other words, that you can go to another platform, whether it's the PlayStation 2 platform or the GameCube or the forthcoming PS3 platform, or maybe even the Wii, Nintendo Wii, and that you'll be able to buy the game there, and it's actually more of the game than you'll get if you purchase the Xbox 360 version. And I want to be very clear. We have a policy in place with our publishers that states that the game must be exactly the same as it is available on other platforms. In other words, you can't hold back on content to put up on Marketplace that makes the game less of a game. So what I want to get at is, if you're going to buy the game on the Xbox 360 platform, it is not going to, it's not going to be a partial game. It is going to be the full version of the game. Now, okay, let's step back and talk for a second. I know for instance on the PS2 and is it the GameCube? I think it is the GameCube. That Splinter Cell Double Agent is an entirely different game than if you purchase it on the PC or the Xbox 360. And now when I say entirely different, means there's a couple of extra side missions and things like that. But by and large, they're considered the full versions of the game. On the Xbox Live Marketplace, you are not going to have to purchase extra content to complete the gaming experience. I want to be very clear on that. There's been a lot of misconceptions. I've spent the past week kind of meeting with some folks and talking to them about this, and this is a policy that we have in place. So if you ever find a piece of content that is available for free on another platform, in other words, as part of it, and you have to pay for it in the Xbox Live Marketplace, that is a flag on the play, and I will take that up with the folks. So please keep that in mind. So one of the perfect examples, or one of the examples a lot of people are confused about, is the latest Need for Speed Carbon content, or last week it was The Godfather, that you can purchase through Marketplace. That is nothing more than a way to advance in the game quicker instead of spending time to play the game. So let me be very clear. The content in those games is in fact available if you play the entire game. These cheats that you purchase just basically allow you to progress quicker in the game. It's not like that content is not available any other way by purchasing. That is absolutely not the case. So I want to be very clear with that, and I've pushed back and let our publishing partners know that they need to also educate the audience on that. But I'm also very clear is that, you know, we're experimenting and so on and so forth, but at no time, and I want to say this, at no time are you going to find content on the Marketplace that is free elsewhere. That is something we're very focused on, and we're totally aware of, and we want to make sure that we're pretty clear with the audience on that. And the other thing I want to point out is the fact that what is a complete game? There's, you know, you are going to get your, you know, you're going to get your 1,000 gamer score and your achievements for that full game price. So that's also something I want to point out. So we're watching this very closely, and I know that you as the audience are watching it even closer. So those are the rules. And again, if you ever find a game that charges you for something you can get for free on other platforms, then you know what? Major@xbox.com. Let me know. Tell me how it works. But right now there's a lot of people that are kind of chasing their tails and a little confused about it. Now, whether or not I agree or you agree with how that, for instance, with the Need for Speed Carbon or the Godfather content, whether or not you think that's fair or not, then that's an entirely different discussion. But I want to be very clear what's going on with the Marketplace there. So that's kind of the update there. Again, continue to leave the feedback. The Marketplace team, there's many people that are involved with Marketplace, and the teams are meeting regularly and sending me emails, and I'm sending them emails as well. So I just wanted to let folks know what was going on there with the Marketplace. So speaking of Marketplace, there's some great content that just went up today, just a few minutes ago, that I'm posting this. One of them is there's some Splinter Cell content. So, the Splinter Cell content, there's a Splinter Cell Double Agent theme up there that was just posted a few minutes ago, and we've got some Splinter Cell Double Agent pictures, so you can go ahead and download. There's a bunch of different pictures there, so go ahead and take a look at those. That is premium content, that is not, and it's not free content. There's also a demo up, Aragon demo. There's PDZ Map Pack 2, which is in fact free. The demo for Rainbow Six Vegas for North America is available as of last week. There's some other cool stuff up there as well, so go ahead and take a look at that. A lot of people are taking the Gears of War ad, which has been pretty interesting. They've taken the Gears of War ad and they're doing their own mashup to that. So congratulations and well done on that. I've seen some of those. So if you have any cool ones that you think are think worthy of me taking a look at, go ahead and send me an email, major@xbox.com. And speaking of the Gears of War ad, there's been some questions about that. What the music in the original ad that was used, and that is the Donnie, it's disc one, cut 13 from the Donnie Darko soundtrack. So if that's what you're looking for, that's what it is. Also, there's been some questions regarding the gold and silver, how that works on Xbox Live, specifically around content being available for some, specifically the gold, members, but not available for silver yet. I want to be clear, the content that's going to be available, the premium content will always be available, from what I'm told, to gold and silver equally. The difference between the gold and silver with some of the content will be specifically the some of the content. I'm just trying to pull up my notes here. It's only going to be about a week. So basically, whenever I post something that's available only for gold content members, for instance, I think the demo for Aragon was only available. Let me just double check and take a look at that. I'm trying to open up my site right now. But basically, general rule of thumb is it's whatever the date it gets posted a week later, it will be available for silver members as well. So, you know, the silver members are important to us, and gold members are important to us, but I just want to let people know what is going on there. So any feedback you have around that process, feel free to let me know. I know you will. All right, we are going to scoot right into Name the Game now. Name the Game is a feature that I do every single week. It is, or when I do shows, I should say, not every single week. And it's pretty simple. Let me tell you how it works. I take a released Xbox 360 game. This is not from a demo. This is not from a trailer. This game has to be available in retail. And it can be an arcade game of two course, but it has to be a release game. And I play a small clip of it. And then what I do is I play the clip, and then you email me, major@xbox.com is my email address. And in the subject line, you put name the game, colon, and what your guess is. One guess per person, please. In the subject, in the body, please put your gamer tag. And also, if you'd like, put where you're from. Just I kind of like to map people where they're from. And then I pull the winner out. So that's the way it works. Real simple. So this was the and then I give away prizes. So yeah, it's all good. So this is the Name the Game clip from 2 weeks ago that a lot of people didn't get, but a lot of people did. So here's the Name the Game clip from last week. Release the Hounds. That was, of course, Chrome Hounds. Chrome Hounds was the name of the game, so that was the correct answer. And out of all the entries that I received, I'm now going to put a hand in my hat here and pull out a winner. The winner is, his gamer tag is Sully42591. Sully42591. Congratulations, you got yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset, which is a cool headset. This is one of their brand new ones that has both voice chat and game chat in the same headset with a little microphone. So it's kind of cool. So congratulations, Sully42591. You got yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset. All right, here's the sound clip for this week's Name the Game. You think you know what that is? Drop me an email. My email address is major@xbox.com, major@xbox.com. Also in the subject line, as I said, please put name the game, colon, and then your guess. And then in the body, please put your gamer tag. And optional, where you're from, so I can find out where all my listeners are from. So that's the name of the game for this week. So good luck to everybody. And let's see. Let's cooking right along here. I talked about my satellite radio appearance. Oh, I want to talk about some cool gadgets that I have. Where is it? Where the heck is that thing? Oh, here it is. I'm using I have a Treo 750W, or Trio, depending on how you want to pronounce it, which is a new it's the GSM Trio running Windows Mobile. So I have one of those little cute little devices here that the team has let me borrow. So that's been working pretty well. Other than that, I haven't really had too many, I haven't got too many gadgets in hand here. Oh, actually, here's one. Hold on. This one I picked up at Fry's. For those of you that don't know Fry's, Fry's is a wild electronics store that I'm sure my listeners would go bananas for. When I lived on the East Coast, I longed for going to Fry's and having a Fry's to go to, and now I have one here. Fry's is this amazing electronics store that is, it's kind of a cross between a Radio Shack, Best Buy. Actually, here's the way I describe it. This is the best way to describe it. Imagine Newegg in a store. That's what this store is like. I mean, they have just got the craziest stuff from, you walk in, they've got computers and they've got circuit boards and they've got cases and all that stuff. And they've got laptops and they've got audio equipment and sound equipment and digital cameras. And they've obviously got video games. I'm just kind of mentally going through the store right now. They've got a whole Mac section. They have music. They have movies. I mean, they've got an amazing ton of movies. My wife likes to describe this place as a place that everything a guy needs to exist. It's got movies, it's got music, it's got computers, it's got every type of technology you'd want. There's even a little restaurant in the one up here in Seattle. And it even has this little porn section, so for those of you that want that. So anyway, that's Fry's. But I went to Fry's and I brought this thing called the GameBridge AVC 1410. So it allows you to record some of your game footage. So I'm going to hook that up probably after I do the show today. So that's kind of the interesting gadgets I have. What gadgets do you have? Send me. Major@xbox.com also. I want to know if I'm missing anything. I'm also working on getting some wireless headsets to give away, so I should have that. I'm also going to work on getting a wireless wireless wheel to give away. I'm going to try to get myself an HD DVD player for you guys to give away. So I'm working on a whole bunch of stuff, and fortunately the guys who work on the hardware really, really like the show, so they're going to do what they can to get me some stuff in there. So anyway, that's my story on Fry's. All right, let's see what else I have here to wrap up the show. We're kind of getting towards the end of the show here. And as promised, it is pretty much near 2 hours. We're just knocking on the door of 2 hours right now. And it's been an amazing amazing show with all the different guests that I've had. I want to thank all the guests that I've had, which for this special version, which of course is where do I start? Ken Levine from BioShock, which is a highly anticipated title coming out in spring 2007. I want to thank Dave Mustaine from Megadeth for dropping by. He's always welcome by the show. And that was a fun interview to do. Jeremy Lutis from who's the lead designer for COD3. Jeremy, thank you for coming by. But it's not done yet. I actually have one more interview which I want to share with you. This is from Aaron, and Aaron worked on Saints Row, which was still is a huge game for folks on Xbox Live. Not only that, Aaron is a frequent listener of this show, and he contributes on the blog. And also, if you go over to the Flickr site, you can see him. He's commenting on my Flickr posts every now and then. So Aaron was in town talking about Saints Row and some issues with that. Of course, the auto update went out for that. I think it went out last week where it fixed a lot of the issues that folks were having online. But Aaron came in, so you'll hear us talk about this. This was obviously recorded before that went out. But Aaron came in and wanted to talk to me, and I was so thrilled to have him, to spend some time with him, and I can't wait to spend some more time with he and the rest of the team that worked on Saints Row. So here's the interview I did with Aaron. All right, so I'm hanging out here, and I have, it's not really my studio, it's some random office, and because I ran into you, I have Aaron LeMay. Aaron, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
So tell people who you are.
My name is Aaron LeMay. I'm an associate producer on Saints Row. I work at Volition, Inc.
Oof.
Yeah.
What a great game.
Oh, man.
So tell me what is it for a lot of the people that want to work in the gaming industry? I always ask this. What does associate producer do?
Well, it depends on the project. Like Evolution, for instance, each associate producer has various roles. Like my role, because of my background, I used to be an art director.
Right.
I handled a lot of like the marketing assets. I did all the movies that the marketing people put out. I also handled all the interface stuff. I was an interface coordinator. So I had like 12 to 15 programmers that I like managed as well as like
So when
artists.
You say interface, you mean like when I go through to call out my cell phone in the game?
Yeah, all that stuff.
All that stuff.
Ornate stuff,
right.
The style of that, all that kind of thing.
Because it looks great.
Oh, thanks.
No, I mean, I've been playing that one. I got to go pick it up again. Thank you for reminding me. Because I'm always afraid to do this.
You know, you mention this in every podcast, yeah. I noticed. Like, you're like, you know, I got to pick up Saints Row. I'm like, every time I'm listening, Hell yeah, you do. So, oh, should I say hell?
Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
But, this is a Saints Row interview. You can even dial it up a little more if you want, because you guys certainly did in the game. But, you know, one thing I noticed about the game, I just finished, I don't want to say this because I don't want to do a spoiler, but I finished the one where you have to go to the airport and...
Oh, yeah, that's, the frustrating one.
Yeah, that was hard.
Yeah.
And anybody who's done that a million times knows exactly which one I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But thank Chris Stockman for that one.
Yeah, that one was difficult. But what amazed me about this game was, everyone says, what do you say to somebody who says, oh, this is just a GTA ripoff?
I'm like, have you played it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the first thing I ask. Have you actually played the game?
Right.
You know, and if they say, well, no, and I'm like, well, then go buy it,
right?
You know, or whatever, or go over to a friend's house and play it.
Right.
You know, just keep in mind that, like, when you start getting into it, the story is what really drives it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, there's one thing that we found through, like, our playtesting and stuff is that so many of the players get drawn into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought they would just be into the activities and stuff like that, but, you know.
Well, there's great story, but you also have some great voice acting talent.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, did you get to work with any of those guys?
You know, no, I didn't. Steve Jarvis, our writer, got to go out there and actually direct them. And he's like a young, like, whippersnapper kind of guy. And he's like, you know, talking to Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, because you're like, what, 90 years old?
Yeah, I'm about... I look good for my age, you know, but I am about 76. Been in the game industry since, 1932. Yeah, I've seen a lot happen. Steve was just telling me, like, giving a direction like Michael Clark Duncan, like saying, you need to make that a little more rough or, you know, whatever. Right. And he's like, all right, no problem, you know.
Yeah, because these guys are professionals.
Yeah.
And the girls. You worked with Mila. You heard me talk about Mila Kunis, right?
Right, right.
Who I just adore. I think she's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's
talent.
So, like, into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, in an interview, like, she gave away, like, her character died, like, on, like, some fashion magazine or something like that. She's like, oh, yeah, I get to play this girl that dies. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, oops. Of course, the people reading the fashion magazine probably weren't the same people.
They're probably, like, devastated, really.
Yeah, they're
crying, single tear.
What? You're in a game? What is this? But, great talent. And really, just gets back to the talent and the story drove the experience.
Right. So what did you think about... say the activities and that kind of thing.
Like, I had a great time with them. I didn't, you know, some games like of this genre that I played, you do the same thing over.
Right,
and over. But this you guys really mixed it up.
Yeah,
that's what
we were after.
Yeah,
more like gameplay per square foot.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you guys covered a lot of surface area.
Yeah,
and packed it in.
Right.
You know, I really had a great time with it. And I know that it's in the top 10 games on Live that I post every week.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, Aaron, can you tell us you guys working on a sequel? You working on another product? Come on, give us a hint.
I would probably. No, I get shot in my bed.
So the answer is you're looking at things.
Yeah, yeah, we're in development for new things, and everyone loves.
I want to ask you a question. How long was Saints Row in development? Because this is an epic game. I mean, this is enormous.
Yeah. Well, my buddy Dave Samuel and I and a couple other guys came up with the idea about 3.5 years ago.
Now, come on, let's be clear, Aaron. Were you sitting there? You guys were playing GTA, going, "We can do this better."
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
In fact, San Andreas came out after we were in, after we had, like, been in pre-pro and stuff like that. And we were like, oh, whoa. You know.
whoa.
Woo. I got to drive 30 minutes for a mission? Awesome. I love driving endlessly. We went through several lead designers, and luckily Chris Stockman took the rein and did a fabulous job. Jacques, our producer, did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And Matt and
I talked about this on the show. I don't know. You probably picked up on this. Is one of the guys who works on the Live team. His dad designed Freckle Bitches.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So
Steve.
Yeah, his that's his dad.
Yeah,
this guy. This guy on the Live team, his dad designed Freckle Bitches.
That guy, I gotta tell you, he is wacky.
So yeah, that guy, his son, wackier.
Oh really? I can imagine. Anyway, moving right along. Another thing that I'll probably be talking to the usability group about this, but like how often do you guys work with the usability group with Xbox Live?
Oh, we work with them all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean you're kinda getting a little under the cover stuff here, which is fine. But yeah,
that's what I'm interested in.
We really work with on the Xbox. I mean, you can see how much usability went into the Xbox 360 dashboard.
Yeah,
you know, do we have?
We actually like use the button configuration. I don't know if you notice, it's the same configuration when you're in the menus as the Xbox.
Yeah, click left, right, left, right, left, right. Yeah, you know, we had endless debates. Well, do we put before we launched? Do we put 5 blades in or 4 blades in? You know, what are the blades called? How do you do that? What are the entry points?
Right.
So you can even in we update it, and that's again a bit cool about Xbox Live is once you connect, you get the updates.
Right.
Last spring, we shipped an update. We realized a lot of people weren't using themes.
Yeah.
So we moved the theme entry point over to the system blade. Mm-hmm. And it just says themes, but it's the same entry point to how to get there.
Yeah, because like themes are really awesome. I got to do the themes for Saints Row.
Right.
And make those. And it's kind of wild. It'd be nice for you guys to make a template for developers.
Right.
Because I just took a screenshot, you know, and like kind of eyed it.
Right. And try to figure it out. I thought we had one. But yeah, a lot of people actually ask that as well because they want to be able to make four different, you know, every blade had a different image. So that's one of the things.
And also like an ideal sort of like gamer picks.
Yeah.
Those are really great. Like the whole process for updating that stuff.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it's laborious.
Right.
Because, you know, I have to get onto my live guys and like say, you know, well, we need, like, why is it that Madden put up like, you know, 300, you know, freaking gamer picks and we only have five?
Well, why do you only have five? Where's the rest of them?
They're all on my hard drive. I send them out to them. I did like 60 of those things.
We want more Saints Row.
Yeah.
We want more Saints Row.
That's what I want to hear.
That's I'm just telling you. I mean, I know that people really enjoy the game and they're playing the game.
Sweet.
So we need those gamer pictures.
Okay.
What gamer pictures do we have? Come on, let's talk about it. You got anything coming down the line for Marketplace?
Oh, well, I got like all sorts of stuff. I did game picks of a lot of like the NPCs and stuff, or the non-player gamers.
So is there one of the hot dog dude?
Yeah.
Really?
I actually have one of the hot dog dude, yeah. I got the hot dog dude, the soda dude. I got a lot of like bag people.
Right.
I got like some pimps.
Right.
Stuff like that. Also on our, on the Saints Row developer website, we have like some stuff too. Like that's our own kind of developer run.
I'm down with that.
Have you been to that yet?
I have been there.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was cool.
Okay.
I love the downloads.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
Cool. Did you see the 360 screenshots?
I did not see that.
What?
Maybe I wasn't.
Oh.
Maybe we need to go through that
together. Yeah, I'll show you.
We need to go through that together.
360 screenshots are the shit, man. I love that stuff.
I'm with you on that.
I mean, like, Bungie did one.
Right.
You know, that one shot. And I was just hassling the art director about it. I was like, dude, what? Why'd you only do one? I did like 60 of these things. They're like gangbusters. They're awesome.
Well, you know the guys over at Bungie. They're heads down chipping their game.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
They're all partying. They're all drunk at their desk.
What what was something that you wanted to put in the game that for whatever reason you ran out of time and you couldn't put in the game?
Well, personally,
yeah.
Oh, gambling.
Really, you want a gambling in the game?
Yeah. Can you imagine doing Texas Hold'em or something like that? That'd be awesome.
Go to a casino. Well, you go to a casino up
by
the
strip bar.
No, up by the airport.
Oh,
across the street from the strip bar is there's the airport lounge.
Right.
Where you pick up the see, look at this. We're talking like it's a real city. I know. See, I'm playing this game.
Haven't you been to Freckle Bitches for crying out loud?
I've been to please. I go to the drive-thru all the time. That's all I'm doing is hanging out there.
Aside from that, you know, there's like a couple of things that we just didn't have the time for, that we had to cut out and things like that.
But that's you know, what do you say to somebody who talks about, let's talk about Marketplace for a second.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to, you know, you said you guys are probably working on content. I don't want to make any announcements here. But what's your, as a developer and as a gamer, what do you view of Marketplace in terms of, you know, people claiming that it's short? Because there's no way that I could look at that game at Saints Row and say, oh, they sure left something out.
You right.
Because that game, there's so much going on in that game.
There's a lot going on. With Marketplace, as far as like adding more stuff, we look at it as something that, you know, to add to the game, like more cars and clothing and things like that. It's things that like people can customize, new hairstyles.
Right.
Is that what you're kind of asking?
Well,
or
I'm more asking about you as a gamer and as a game developer. Where do you fall on the fence of the downloadable content for premium without mentioning any other studios or any other publishers?
Well, I got to say that... I always look at the downloadable stuff.
Right.
You know, every time that there's new things, I check it out and I'm thinking to myself, do I want to like spend $3 on horse armor or some bullshit like that? I don't know, but and typically I'm like, nah. I look at gamer picks a lot, and I look at like themes just because that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
But like, say for instance, for Samurai, I'll go ahead and mention games that I'm playing.
Yeah.
But like Samurai Warriors 2, for instance, I like the fact that I can just like buy another henchman.
Yeah.
You know, that I can max out or whatever, you know, and stuff like that, and spend like a buck half for that.
So, what do you say to the kids that are out there? And you read my blog, and you know, you're online. What do you say to the kids that are saying, oh, well, they're just cutting that out of the game so they can nickel and dime us more?
Oh, well, that's not true, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, you're clearly on the inside. You're a gamer and you're a publisher and a developer.
A lot of stuff, like, we like go in planning a way ahead of like, it's not stuff that we're cutting, it's just like we want to add to.
Right.
You know? We go through a laborious process of like, well, kind of ebb and flow of like what we do need to cut, you know, and also with the, like when we need to ship.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that, like, whenever Saints Row, we first started developing that and doing pre-pro, the city was like three times as big as it was.
Right.
The scope was so huge.
Right.
And we just had to keep, you know, and it's still a big city.
It's huge.
And we still had to, like, cut it down.
I tell you, one of the things really, the coolest thing about, one of the many cool things about the game is that the first time I dropped it in, I'm driving around, I was expecting to drive over the bridge.
Right.
And go to a loading screen.
Right.
Like what I've done in some of the other open-ended sandbox games.
Yeah.
In this game, I don't think there was like little loading. It's just like, I'm just driving around doing my thing.
Yeah.
That was amazing how you guys accomplished that.
Thanks. We thank our programmers for that. They did a great job with the streaming. And one of the cool things I also like about it is that at any point you can go to another gang's territory and start some shit up or whatever.
Yeah.
Or do an activity.
Just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's the beauty. Yeah. It's just, that's the one thing I was like, wait a minute. Everything's kind of unlocked.
Right.
You know, I can go get into trouble anywhere.
What about that GPS?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's cool. That is cool. I love the way the arrow comes up. And it's telling me, although I must tell you, when I'm up on the highway, sometimes I take the wrong exit.
Yeah.
That I get confused.
Well, we did the GPS. We did GPS after we designed the city. So.
Right. So, but otherwise, no, I'm flying along in the GPS. I just like, I lay it down. I don't have to think about it. It's like my GPS in my car.
Right.
You just, boom, you go. So that is a great addition.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, you guys did a really nice job with that. But yeah, I love the fact that when I'm driving around, no loading screens.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be clear, you said streaming.
Yeah.
So it's actually like loading in the background.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a cone, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever the vision of the player, that stuff is getting loaded. So anytime that you turn.
Right.
You know, like, say for, I don't know, it's hard to describe via radio or whatever. But
via audio.
Audio.
Yeah.
But, you know, like whatever's behind a building doesn't render.
Right.
You know, so it's all whatever's in the vision of the player renders.
Yeah, I just, the first time that I walked into my crib, and I'm like, I was like, okay, I gotta open the door, it's gonna load. No, I walk in, just go in, and it's there. I'm like, wow, this is wild. Yeah. And I go back, and the fact that the cars are still there when you load, and the saves and all that stuff.
What do you think about the customization for the cars? Did you like that?
I did.
Okay.
I really did. I thought that was kind of cool. I think the problem is I don't have the achievement yet for the 50 cars in the garage yet. I think I'm at like 30.
Okay. Well, you need to play more.
Yeah, clearly, as discussed. but yeah, no, I'm just enjoying the hell out of the game.
Great.
I mean, I feel like I want to turn up and start swearing because.
Well, tell me about it. I want to do another study on how video games affect the consciousness of players, but I don't know what will come out of that.
Yeah, when I started playing the game, I was playing it in my home theater at home, and my wife was in the other room. She's like, "What's going on in there?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh,
nothing, honey. I'm just being a pimp.
Nothing. I'm just hold on a minute. I got to bang, 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 bang. You know,
I got to smack this bitch real quick. Hold on."
Yeah. So it was a little rough. It was a little rough. Anyway, so yeah, so it's phenomenal game. I mean, where do you go from here? Obviously you're planning some other titles that you can't talk about, but you're in the honeymoon now that you've shipped it and.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually, I know like Jacques and, Alan and, I think Chris are coming out to do a kind of a core dump and, talk to you guys about their experience.
So core dump, that sounds scary. I don't even know what that is.
Basically, it's just overview of like what went what went wrong in the game process.
Right.
I know that those things are often available online.
Right.
I don't know if we'll put ours on, but like you can go like to Gama Sutra or something like that and
take a look at them.
Stuff.
So you guys will come out and do that and figure out what how you can be better. I mean, the game is
cool. We're always like delving into what's next. You know, we've been thinking about what's next for quite some time. So
one thing I must say, it's tough for me to get to the phone.
Yeah,
when I'm sitting there and I'm driving along, because a lot of people don't know this, but if you're injured, you can pull up your phone and dial 911.
Right,
and the ambulance pulls in. It always seems like I'm like getting shot. Where's my phone? Where's my phone?
I know. Like in real life.
Yeah, like in real life. Where's my phone? So I'm just going through the interface in my mind because I was playing it last night and a couple days.
Well, that's good feedback. One of the things that we had to do when we first, I don't know, did you see it when we first showed it at E3?
No, I didn't see it. I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure I saw it, but
a
long time ago.
It was, the interface was quite different.
Right.
And whenever I came on it, they said basically just don't make it look like this anymore. And
so you had to like start over.
Right.
Yeah, I do like that, like you said earlier, I like the fact you can use the bumpers and go back and forth and the, you know, kind of, I ended up going around the horn a lot for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. we did a lot of playtesting on that. And, you know, there's, it's kind of like a, I don't know, another religious battle, who likes that and who doesn't.
Right.
You know, as far as usability is concerned.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
For those, so usability, for everyone who goes, what is this usability thing?
Yeah, why do you keep throwing it around?
That's the term. I mean, I'll let you describe it from a game developer's perspective.
It's basically whenever you're sitting down playing the game, and it's like how you interface with the game. All right. The stuff like the controls, the menu systems, how you pick your face, your car, you know.
How do you navigate within the world of the
exactly.
game? Not just walking around, but, you know. And I know that sometimes, you know, you can come up with a great idea, but it just doesn't execute correctly.
Right. Especially, like, you know, we had a really huge challenge when we were doing the activities and, like, unifying. Because, like, whenever the programmers that were doing the activities, there was different programmers for each activity. So they all did their interface differently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a mess.
Yeah, tell me about it. And so we had to come up with a kind of an elegant way of unifying all that.
Right.
You know, and that was kind of more of a reaction once we got into that sort of thing.
Here's a bitch I have against the game.
Yeah.
I never know how to refill my weapons.
Oh yeah,
am I going back? Am I like buying them again? What's that's
yeah, I know
that's a problem I got.
We get that. I know. I'll just take the blame for that.
Okay, so
I was like on cheap drugs or something like that. A lot of caffeine and
so there you go. Some feedback. I just want to be able to buy some ammo.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely addressing that. You know.
Okay.
In some fashion or form, which I cannot.
Okay, that's fine. We'll let you. I'm going to let you off the hook on that one.
Thanks.
So the other thing is, you know, we've been going on for like 20 minutes here.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh man.
See, so you listen to my shows.
Oh yeah.
And you have offered to help co-host a show.
I would love to.
So I definitely want to have you on again and have you.
Okay.
So next time you're in town, we're going to do a whole show.
Okay.
So not just a little 25.
I even brought like gadgets along. You know.
Really?
Yeah,
what do you got?
Well, I didn't bring it with me because I knew you were pressed for time.
Right.
But have you seen the new mini player by Meizu?
No.
It's a Chinese company. It's awesome. It's like...
Is this the one that Apple's going after?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's like... it's got a big screen, about a little bit smaller than the Zune.
Uh-huh.
I know this is not really competition. But,
right.
But I just picked one up, and it was like flash memory, 4 gigs.
Uh-huh.
And it's all touch-based, and it was just amazing.
Will you send me a link to this?
Yeah, of course.
So I can put it up on the phone on the show. That's cool. Yeah. So you got that?
Yeah, I got
that.
What
about a phone? What do you got for a phone?
Oh, God. I don't have anything cool for a phone.
Because I got to bring you over and show you my phone.
Yeah. Well, you get a new phone a week, right?
Yeah, I got a new
phone. Can you give me an extra one or something?
Yeah, I'll see what I got.
This is like some cheap.
What the hell is that?
Exactly.
What the hell is that?
Look at that nice rubber thing right there. That just
it's like an old school Motorola.
Yeah.
Wow. What is this little thing hanging off? That's like a girl has.
I know.
What is that?
Well, what was on the end of this was what was that? Katamari Damacy.
Oh yeah.
I had one of those guys on it.
Are you playing that?
I'm not playing that. That's old, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes you go back to it.
Oh, no, I'm not playing that. I'm playing
that's
like,
what you need. You need a Katamari Saints Row where you're rolling around and picking stuff up.
Rolling bitches?
Yeah. That's
I'm
what you
rolling
need.
Bitches,
that's
bitch.
That's exactly what you need.
Nah. Yeah, we might do that. Sure, another mini game.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's cool. So I went to this. I guess it was manager's meeting for either EB or GameStop or some shit like that.
Right.
It was out in Las Vegas, and they had literally a pile like this of these Katamari dudes, and there was no one picking them up. So I was like,
so you just took half and put them in your bag.
Yeah, you know, I was like, I can eBay this. This is awesome. You know,
but ironically, you have a whole bunch of them, yet it's broken on your phone.
I know it is. Well, this is a janky phone.
So here's the deal. The next time you come on the show, you have to have another phone.
I will.
All right, because
hopefully you can hit me up.
I can't let you on the show. You're sporting that stuff.
I appreciate it.
That's not cool. So yeah, we're gonna get you on the show again, and we'll have you co-host. We'll do a whole episode.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
You know, maybe by the time when you have some more cool stuff to talk about, I'll have you on the show again.
I'll hook you up.
And the people.
Oh, and also remember, I got you that beanie. I can get you some more products.
Yeah. So I got this cool beanie that you got me from Volition, which is should I wear this today?
Yeah, wear it for G4.
Yeah, I'm going to go hang, put this on.
Yo, check this out. I got influence.
Check this out. I'm going to wear this. You know, I'm going to put a picture up on. You want to put a picture of Flickr on with this?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So we'll do that. But yeah, I got to hook you up with some stuff too. But
yeah, definitely got to hook me up.
See, I thought, you see, when I was talking to somebody over here and they're like, I said I want to get somebody from Saints Row, I didn't know I was going to get somebody so dialed into what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because usually I get people over there like.
Well, whenever you first like made the announcement, like, I just got to get a hold of someone from Saints Row. And I like emailed you I got through you from Flickr. Flickr,
I remember that.
Through Flickr,
right?
And I was like, well, he's not answering his email, so maybe through Flickr.
Well, what happened was, is my major at Xbox.com account went belly up. Something happened, like only part of the emails are coming through, they're all going to spam, so I got to figure out what's going on there.
They probably saw Volition on there and was like, oh, that's...
Yeah, that's not a problem.
They're only the
spam.
Top game in the world. Spam.
So I'll definitely get you back on again when you get a better phone and we can talk more about some stuff. What else are you playing now? What are you playing? Well, wait a minute. You know I ask everybody this question.
Gamertag.
Yeah, what's your gamertag?
Sri Jagannatha.
Spell that.
Sri Jagannatha.
What does that mean?
It means Holy Lord of the World in Sanskrit. I know Sanskrit, so...
Well, who doesn't?
Exactly.
I mean, really.
It's a dead language. Why not? It's trendy with the kids.
All the kids right now are...
They're like going, Ahumbrahmasmi.
You realize... I got to put a link off to the Wikipedia article on Sanskrit now, because I'm going, what the hell is that?
I know. Whenever I was...
Katamari what?
When I was like in college, I was telling my dad I was taking that as a minor. He's like, "What? Why are you studying that?" And I was like, "Well, that's
you know, cool. I never told the story. You know, my dad told me to minor in when I was in college.
What's that?
This is a true story. He told me to minor in meteorology.
Whoa."
And I said, I came home after my freshman year, I'm like, "Dad, what?" He's like, "You need to be a minor in meteorology." And I said, "Why do I want to do that?" He says, he looked at me deadpan. He says, "Because there'll always be weather and you can always get a job." I swear to God.
That is hilarious.
So,
I'm going to use that for my kids.
Yeah. So, it was the funniest conversation I've ever had, and one of the funniest conversations I had with my dad.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
So I'm going to have people send you invites, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Can we play Saints Row? Can you and me and maybe Tycho?
We'll
get all that
fixed
up. That'd
be awesome.
We'll play a little. I'll get those guys on, and we can play a little Saints Row.
I know we're also going to be doing, we got a whole group of guys from Volition that get on all the time.
They usually
have a little V in front of their names. So.
Okay, that's cool.
Now there's going to be a lot of guys that put V's in front of
their names, V dash and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you actually? You know, you. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago when Saints Row was named the game.
Oh yeah, it was the week before last.
Yeah, I used
the little cart thing, the three-wheeled cart.
Yeah, the quota.
Right, the quota.
that's crazy. That little one.
I know. Well, that's the closest thing to a motorcycle we could get.
Come on.
I don't want to get there. I'm sorry. I opened that chain.
Yeah, you see, you said it. I didn't say it. You did. All right, we'll leave it alone.
All right,
I'm getting this stink eye from you, so I'll leave it alone. So we're gonna have you on the show again. We're gonna talk more about great game Saints Row.
Right, and also I want to make sure that you get Alan and Jacques and Chris on.
Okay,
because those are like the heavies. And
you're heavy. You're kind of cool.
Well, thanks, man.
Are they all dialed in?
You should get them while they're doing the core dump here.
Right,
because they're all going to be talking about Saints Row and all.
Well, you're going to be here for that too, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. Mm. Unless you guys want to buy me a ticket.
Gonna get a void. Come out here and do the.
We could just send me out for a show.
The core dump. Yeah, right. Be flying people in for
you're
shows.
Like, dude,
now.
I gotta get Aaron LeMay on.
Yeah, Aaron's it, man. So people that are listening to the show right now, go to the blog, comment that you want Aaron on another show.
Yes.
And then we can just point to it and go, look, dude, Aaron, huge star.
And we can bring like some ladies on or something like that.
Some ladies?
Saints Row.
I was going to say, because I can get Trixie, because you know how the people feel about Trixie.
What's up with that voice?
Yeah, what's up with the... You do a good invitation over all.
I got lots of them. I'm here all week.
Sorry, man. Well, listen, I'm gonna let you go. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for spending my time. I mean, I actually pulled you away from you over at Bungie. They're probably showing you cool stuff.
No. I actually worked out the way it was supposed to. It's all good.
All right, Aaron LeMay from Volition, frequent blog reader, frequent listener of this show, and thank you for giving us a little peek into this inside the world of Saints Row. Aaron, you're welcome on the show anytime. I'll have to work on seeing if we can get you that co-host position. I'll let the people vote. It's up to them. So, all right, we got to wrap this show up because I'm way, way over now. This is the 200th show, 2 hour and 22 minutes spectacular at this point. So I'm going to wrap up the show now. I want to thank everybody again. I want to thank all the guests that came on and wish me well, and I want to thank you guys, because without it, you're the reason I do the show. So thank you very much. It's going to be an exciting month coming up. We got a lot of cool releases of games. We have some other game consoles being released, so I'm excited about that. And if you guys have any questions, email me major@xbox.com. Otherwise, I will hopefully I can have another show. I don't know how I'm going to ever top this show. I have no idea. So I will just do the best I can. So anyway, this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun. Play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint when appropriate, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. So for my 200th episode, I was thinking maybe moving forward I should use a different different open and close bed. What do you think of this one? I think it could work, right? And it kind of right about starting to pick up right about here. Yeah, it's got a little beat. Anyway, all right, let's drop that out. Thank you. Thank you for downloading this show. I know it was a big one. I mean, 2.5 hours. That's not a podcast. That's a motion picture. I mean, let's be clear. Also, please keep the feedback coming regarding the marketplace and arcade. We really are serious. We do listen to you. We, you know, I send all the feedback that you guys send, the well thought out feedback. I always send that on to onto the team because they're always wanting to, you know, we want to make the product the best that we can. These guys are not just showing up and punching the clock. So. I'm out of gas. I really have. This show has taken a long time to put together, and so I'm really out of gas. I'm pretty much going to end it here. But thank you for listening. What should I do for future shows? What do you guys want to hear for interviews? Hey, publishers, if you want to get your, if you want me to interview your guys, let me know. Major@xbox.com or contact your PR people. You know who they are. I'd love to talk to some of your folks. That's a true story about my dad, by the way. I don't really talk about my dad too much, but that is actually a true story. That is an actual conversation we had once. Oh, yeah, my dad has since died. But Dad, hopefully you enjoy that story as much as I do. And all right, I'm going to go. I will talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye-bye.